Hello.
You're already recording everything.
Hello.
I gotta behave myself already. Hi, guys.
Hi, man.
How are you?
All right. Whew. Every time I go on Zoom, like, am I gonna get in? Am I gonna get in? All right.
Hello.
Hi, Nance.
How are you?
Good.
Wow.
Did Marie go back to Florida yet? Bobby?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard nothing.
Okay. I know she had her horses out at Crystal Brook.
Right, right. That's the last I knew.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're still out there.
Yeah, we haven't talked to her in a month.
Okay.
You know how that goes.
I know. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. No more Miss Penny, huh?
No, that's really sad. Yeah, you know, well, she brought such value. She remembered a lot of stuff.
She was very, very good.
Yes, she was. It's going to be a great loss to the planning board.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll tell you, getting on and off that Zoom is a pain in the neck.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Good morning, Nancy.
How are you, Matt?
Fine, how are you?
Good.
You got a nice sunny view in the back, a little, look like a sunset or a sunrise.
Yep.
It was very nice. How many more Zoom meetings we got left?
Not many. Not many for me.
Yeah, I think zoning board's starting in person in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Is the township committee in person or are they still Zooming?
We're still Zooming. We'll Zoom until I Zoom out of here.
You're not going anywhere.
Oh, well, I'll be on the outside.
You're going to be looking on the planning board? How about stay on planning board?
No, I'll be watching.
Oh, boy. Thanks for the warning. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
How are you, Mike?
I'm just hanging in there. Early.
Thank you. Are we going to hear this application tonight or what?
I hope so. Yeah, they'll be here. I know, it's been a while.
Not a while.
They keep dying for a few months. I couldn't get a hold of them to see when they're coming. And they kept postponing it. I don't know why.
Why? Because they don't adhere to anything in our ordinance book.
Well, they
could be a good reason.
They said they had to change the plan because of their DOT access permit. Then next thing you know, the building was 900 square feet smaller, or 300. I'm not sure it was smaller. So they made some changes, and they changed attorneys. So a few things did happen.
Who's the attorney now?
Come on, Linda. Who is it?
Richard Stone.
Richard Stone. That's right. They started with Richard Stone, then they switched to someone else.
Dana Kelly.
Then they went back to Richard Stone. Just like crazy. Hi, McKinley.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
The next month, we have a site plan on Reich Drive. And in December, we have another warehouse.
They don't stop, those warehouses.
Is that on 33?
This one is where the hole-in-one golf place. I keep getting phone calls from different people want to know why they couldn't have their warehouses 50 feet high, like Showplace Farm had. I told him to call Mike Stipe. That was his fault. They're like, why couldn't we go 50 feet? I said, well, we can't.
Well, Matt, the one at Showplace still has, last I noticed, still has a looking for tenant sign, looking to sell or lease.
So. Actually, they just told me they want to do a minor subdivision, separate the buildings, but the second building has no frontage on the street. So they were comparing it to like a financial minor subdivision or something. So I said, well, when you come to the board, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I look forward to them convincing us that it's easy. Yeah.
Well, tonight's application is not a warehouse, so.
First in a while.
Yeah, I know. Linda said we got another one that was just submitted yesterday or today.
Hello, everybody. Mike.
Richard, how are you?
Okay. Mike, we haven't seen each other in a while.
Well, that's probably been a pleasure for you.
And not to worry, the last time you cost me $1 million. Do you have an agenda?
You're it.
That's it?
I was going to say, you're it.
You better tell the board, I'm not easy to get along with.
That's not at all true.
Neither is the board.
That may be true.
I want you to know, Mike, I just finished a 2-week in-person jury trial in Monmouth County.
God bless you.
That's the first time I'm back in the courthouse in 2 years, over 2 years.
or in?
Do you remember your radiator file story?
You remember that? Yeah.
Well, Judge Thornton still has a case that I tried on May 25th of 2019 that hasn't been decided yet.
No kidding. Jeez.
No, actually, it's 2018. It's been over 3 years.
No kidding. I mean, when you go into her chambers, is it behind her desk on the radiator?
I don't know. I haven't been there. And I've been told not to ask.
You know, I did tell you that story. And you know who told me that? I don't know if you're old enough to remember. Do you remember Sid Maestrich?
I remember the name, but I don't remember the person. No.
Sidney Maestrich. He was a lawyer, my first law partner. And he was a title officer for Chicago Title Insurance Company. And he's the one that told me that if you leave the file on the radiator long enough, it disintegrates.
All right. Well, I'm going to call privilege of the chairman and say you guys can catch up after the meeting. How's that?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry about that.
No, get out of here. Yeah, no worries. Everyone here, as far as we can see, Linda.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have a quorum. Looks like you counting a lot of tiles. Okay. Well, then let's get started. Welcome to the October 13th meeting of the Millstown Township Planning Board. Linda, would you please read the statement of adequate notice?
Let the minutes show that adequate notice of this meeting as required by PL 1975, Chapter 231. Has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press and the Times of Trenton, posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and filed with the Township Clerk.
Okay, thank you. Would everyone please stand and join us in the flag salute? I pledge allegiance,
To the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And Linda, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Ms. Butch is absent. Mayor Dorfman? Deputy Mayor Gravelia?
Here.
Ms. Curtis?
Present. And also, I just sent a note in chat. I'm sorry. If you're not speaking, could you please mute your phone? I have a lot of background noise. I can't hear anything. Please mute your phone or your device.
Chairman Newman.
Hold on. Now I have to unmute. And there's no noise over here. Yes, I'm here.
Exactly. Rose.
Sorry, present.
Mr. Pato.
Here.
Vice Chairman Pepe? Absent. Mr. Ziner? Absent. And Mr. Youngs?
Here.
Linda, where, I don't see him. Where is Tom? Is he the 732?
I think, yeah.
Yes, Mitch.
Okay. All right. Gotcha, Tom. Just, want to make sure. I know who you are. Just let me make a little note here. Okay. Gotcha. We're good. All right. First thing on our agenda is approval of the minutes from our September 8th meeting. Linda, you distributed those, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion. Rose Oxley.
Okay. Thank you, Rose. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Bobby.
Okay, thanks. Any comments or suggested revisions? Seeing none, Linda, please call the roll.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Ms. Curtis?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Gravelia? Chairman Newman?
Yes. Nancy, you're on mute.
Ms. Oxley?
I'm here.
112.
I was just trying to get Pat Butch into the meeting. Sorry.
All right. Ms. Oxley?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So the minutes are approved. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the public comment portion of the meeting. If there's anyone here in the meeting or listening in that would like to comment on something that's not otherwise scheduled on our agenda for discussion, this is your opportunity to be heard. Linda, I don't see any hands up or anyone motioning to be heard.
No.
Linda, let Pat in. She's in the waiting room. Okay.
She's on.
Okay.
So, Mike, we can note that Ms. Butch has joined the meeting. I think Mike just said yes, I think.
I'm in. Yes.
Okay. So we'll close the public comment portion and move on. Next item on the agenda is memorialization of resolution P21-07, Scott and Cynthia D'Amico, block 14.01, lot 30. Resolution was distributed by Linda. Is there anyone that would like to make a motion to memorialize that resolution?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that was distributed.
I thought it was in the email that you sent us.
I had a staffing issue and it did not get finalized in typing.
Okay.
So it's not ready. It will have to be carried to next month.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. All right. So then we're going to move on to our new application that's listed. P21-01 Millstone Plaza LLC, block 24, lot 4. Is there someone here on behalf of the applicant?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Richard Stone. I'm with the firm of Stone Mandia, and tonight I have the privilege of representing the applicant, which you just recited, Millstone Plaza LLC. And you are correct that the project location is block 24, lot 4 on Route 33 in the HC zone. I do have a few witnesses. I don't know the procedure, Mr. Stieb, whether
Before we start, I just want to advise the board that I've reviewed the service. The service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the case, and I'm aware of a number of exhibits that the board has received that I can read into the record at this time before the starts the presentation. They include Exhibit A1, which is the jurisdictional packet. Exhibit A2 is the application dated November 22, 2020. Exhibit A3 is an undated aerial photograph. Exhibit A4 is a survey prepared by Crest Engineering that's dated June 7, 2019. Exhibit A5 is a DRCC report that's dated October 1, 2021. Exhibit A6 is an EIS prepared by Concept Engineering Consultants that's dated December 2020. Exhibit A7 is a soils report prepared by PHE that's dated August 21, 2020. Exhibit A8 is a stormwater management report prepared by Concept Engineering. That's dated June 11, 2021, revised August 30, 2021. Exhibit A9 is a traffic report prepared by McDonough and Ray. That's dated June
16, 2020. Mike, you're frozen.
Am I frozen? I'm not frozen here.
No, you're okay now.
Okay. Where did we leave off? At A9?
A9.
All right. So A9 was a traffic report prepared by McDonough and Ray dated June 16, 2020. Exhibit A10 is a soil profile pit report prepared by CME. That's dated August 10, 2018. Exhibit A11 is a site plan prepared by Concept Engineering. That's dated March 16, 2020. Revised August 30, 2021. Exhibit A12 are architectural plans prepared by Sizen and Winkler Architects LLC. They're dated April 23, 2020. Exhibit A13 is an environmental specialist report prepared by Herpetological Associates Incorporated. That's dated July 8, 2021. And we also have board exhibits PB1, which is a report from your board engineer, Matt Shafai, that's dated September 22, 2021. And exhibit PB2, a report from your board planner, McKinley Mertz, that's dated October 4, 2021. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far that the board has received in connection with the application.
Okay, Mr. Stone, why don't you proceed and introduce your case and then your first witness?
Okay, what I usually do, Mr. Chairman, and it's subject to Mr. Steib and yourself, I can either have all of the experts sworn in at the same time. I prefer to do it one at a time for the following reason. My application will proceed with Mr. Pliskanka, our engineer, Mr. Higgins, our planner. We do have available other experts, which include Mr. Winkler. I see he's on. He's the architect. From Mr. John Ray's office, I understand that Mr. Scott Kennel is a traffic engineer. And I don't believe we will have anybody else. What I will do, I will proceed with Mr. Pliskanka. After he's qualified and provides information to the board and fields any questions, I then will proceed with Mr. Higgins, who will do the same. And then, unless you feel it necessary, I would prefer to allow the experts to field any of the questions from either the board members or the board professionals. And with that, I'll call my first witness, Mr. John Pliskanka.
And Mr. Chairman, I am in accord with Mr. Stone's proposal for the presentation.
Okay, thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Pliskanka? Mitch, this is Rose Oxley. Do I have to recuse myself? I have worked with John Pliskanka. Hi, John. And do I need to recuse myself from this or not?
Let me have some of the particulars as to the timing, how long it's been since you've been with him, et cetera.
I had a commercial property, and I haven't worked with John for about 3 years, right, John?
Yes.
And just basically, I used him to help me with plans on my commercial property in Manalip, and that's basically it.
Okay. Do you think that's going to impede upon your ability to objectively review this application?
No.
Mr. Chairman, I think a 3-year hiatus is sufficient separation as long as the board member does not feel that they're going to be adversely impacted by the experience.
Okay, then Rose, I'm certainly fine with you continuing. Mr. Stone, is that acceptable to you?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Mr. Scott,
why don't you raise your right hand and be sworn? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And name and address.
John J. Pliskanka, Pliskanka, professional engineer, Manalip, New Jersey.
May I proceed, Mr. Stein?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Ms. Pliskanka.
I have, counselor.
Pardon me?
My qualifications, or whether you, I had testified before the board before.
I know you have, but I'd like to make sure that the record is clear, and I'm sure you've been qualified before this board before, but I would ask you to at least provide them with some background information for the record, including your education, your licensing, and that you've been qualified before both this board and other boards within the state.
Yes, Mr. Stone, I am a licensed professional engineer and a professional planner. I'm speaking only as a professional engineer tonight, and I have been doing this for the last 50 years throughout Monmouth, Middlesex, and Ocean County.
Okay. Mr. Steib and Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I ask to move as qualified Mr. Pliskanka in the field of engineering.
Okay, and that's acceptable. Thank you.
Mr. Pliskanka, would you be kind enough to provide the board and the record premises in question about which this application is being considered? Please describe the property, what's presently on it, any history you think relevant, and what the proposals are, and then we can go through item by item for both the C1 variance together with any of the other variants that are being requested as part of the relief.
Thank you. The property, as stated, is Block 24, Lot 4 on Route 33. It's 457 Route 33. It's 1.23 acres. It's in the HC zone, highway commercial. And the idea here is to construct a liquor store of 4,100 square feet. This is a permitted use in the zone. The building would be one story, measuring about 24 and a half feet high, and it would be no basement. It would be on a slab. There's a two-way driveway proposed coming into the building, and there's 27 parking spaces proposed, landscaping and lighting. That's the proposal on this property, and the there are several variances that are being requested that will be addressed by Mr. Higgins, but there are variances that are pre-existing, such as the size of the property and the width of the property, et cetera. And I defer that to Mr. Higgins when he testifies.
Am I correct, Mr. Pliskanka? There was a modification in the plan that initially there was a request for a larger building on this site, but it was out of necessity reduced?
Yeah, based on an application to DOT that we made, there was a 4,400 square foot building, but because of the frontage and the requirements of DOT in this matter, they asked us to reduce it to 4,100 square feet, which then requires 27 parking spaces, and that's where we are at this time.
Hey, let me interrupt Mr. Stoner, Mr. Pliskanka. Are you able to, or do you have a plan that you can share with us on the screen? Although everything was submitted, it is helpful to see it as you're talking about it.
I believe somebody has to allow us to share.
You have to allow us to share, Mitch, please.
Oh, so Linda, is that you? Last time.
Mitch, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name, but I don't have control of the exhibits that were submitted to Mr. Stive and to the board.
Okay, so you want permission as host to yes. Share documents?
First time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do it from here. I have Mr. Halari here who is working the strings on my head.
Okay, you should be able to now.
Okay, can everyone see that?
Yeah, you did it.
Yes. Congratulations.
We're almost there.
But I just want to throw one thing out there. Last time we gave someone control and the meeting ended, they ended the meeting for us and hung up on all of us. So when you get to the end of your application, one of us has to remember that you have to give us back control, if you don't mind.
I don't think I'll make that mistake again, so I'll try to remember this time.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm not blaming you, Linda. I'm just pointing it out that it was your fault.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So you can see on the plan, Route 33 to the right, you can see the parking area right in front, and you can see the building setback. We have the area that's in green would be mostly grass, landscaping. We have identified and provided for quite a bit of trees and shrubs on the property. I think there's 30 trees proposed and 120 shrubs to comply with the ordinance that you have in the town. And there's a little bit of fill we need to bring in, maybe about 2,000 yards, and we have to make an application to the town for that separately. And there have been questions from the planner and engineer about the width of the sidewalk in front of the building, which you can see will be 6 feet wide, and the sidewalk on the west side of the building would be 5 foot wide.
Can you tell us which sheet this is from your site plan set? I assume this is a color rendered sheet from the site plan set.
This is sheet three of 12.
3 of 12. Thank you.
So again, we've been to DOT, and just to jump forward, and I'll come back again, that we've been to Freehold Soil, and we have their approval. We've been to the Monmouth County Planning Board, and they do not require approval because we're on a state highway. We are in process for the Board of Health for the septic system, which is to the east of the building. We have the shade tree letter, which will comply with 100%. We have the Millstone Environmental Commission letter, which will comply. And there was a T&E study about a wood turtle, which I'll go back to in a few minutes. We do have an LOI from DEP that was in July 8, 2019. And we're working with DNR Canal for that approval. And we will monument and dedicate an easement in the back where this would be a conservation easement for the wetlands and wetlands buffer. And the NJDOT permit is in progress right now. There were reports mentioned before from Potomac Hudson where they found no exceedances of historically applied pesticides. That report's on the board's file. And we have that report from the wood turtle that said that there was site does not have critical habitat, which is nesting, mating, or hibernation for wood turtles based on the structure of the habitat and unsuitable wetlands at the rear of the property. That's the conclusion from the report. They suggested if we start construction that we put up a silt fence so we that way maintain that no animals can come into the property at that time. So that report's part of the record. I think we have a report from Mr. Shafai, which is dated September 22nd, 2021. And I can basically say, like I always say from Mr. Shafai, that we're going to comply with his report. I can go through it point by point, but I don't see anything here of any substance that we cannot do. There was one waiver for stormwater that we may have to ask for. Matt suggests it would be okay if we try harder to make it work. It doesn't work because it's such a small site that minor stormwater variation could be approved by the board. Otherwise, I think I've outlined the conditions of approval. Let me go back and see if I have anything else here.
Can I ask a couple of questions? And just
sure.
In my report, I on item 4B, you're going to need over 2,000 cubic yards of soil. That has to be approved by the planning board. So this is also, I know you haven't done the application yet, but you might as well get that approval tonight, subject to you filling out the application.
That's a good idea, Mr. Shafai.
Because I can't approve soil importation of over 400. Anything over 400 has to go to the planning board. So that's where you're at.
So we respectfully request that approval this evening, subject to any review Matt has in submitting the application that's appropriate with the appropriate fees.
Yes. And
well, Matt, while we're on that, I'll have two questions, and if I'm premature in asking them, I'll need to know what does that equal in terms of number of trucks and what is the anticipated truck route so that we stay off of our Millstone roads as much as reasonably possible.
I believe each truck carries a maximum of 20 cubic yards. Some of them may be smaller. So you're talking about 100 to 120 truckloads. The good thing is, it's on Route 33, so it shouldn't affect any local roads.
And Mr. Pliskonk, are you okay with that being a condition of any potential approval?
I am, yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Shafai, would you raise your right hand and be sworn to either swear or affirm that the testimony you just gave and any additional testimony you give in connection with the application is and will be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Stive and Mr. Chairman, may I jump in for a moment?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to direct this question to, in light of Mr. Shafai's inquiry on that one item. Mr. Pusconka, I'm going to ask you, do you have available to you the letter from Leon S. Avakian, authored by Mr. Shavai, dated September 22nd, 2021?
I do.
Okay. You know, at this point in your presentation, may I ask that you go through Mr. Shavai's letter, and wherever appropriate for you to respond to any of his inquiries, including the one that he just referenced, that you identify it and respond to it, and what you're leaving to Mr. Higgins, just point that out. And when Mr. Higgins testifies, I'm going to ask him to do the same in regard to any of the items that he will address separately. All right?
Before we move on, can I just ask one question? Why are we bringing in that much topsoil?
Not topsoil.
It's filled, Deputy Mayor.
Okay, we're not filling in wetlands or anything.
No. The wetlands are defined. The buffer is defined, and that's being conserved. This is only for the pad for the building and the parking lot area to make it work into the adjoining properties in the state highway. So
okay.
A little bit on the low side, that's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Pusconka, also in reviewing Mr. Shafai's letter, at some point I think that we're going to have to address the septic plan and at least bring that to the board's attention, the historical manner in which it was analyzed and submitted to the board engineer.
Well, we start with Matt Shafai's letter of the 22nd of September. Item 2 is zoning and land use, and that's information, basically. Item 3 is the variances and waivers consisting of points A, B through H, which is Mr. Higgins' testimony. Number 4 is site plan, where we mentioned the trees and shrubs, which I identified before. We're proposing 30 trees and 120 shrubs. B is the required fill coming in for the site to make the site up to grade. That's the 2,000 yards we talked about a minute ago. C is the width of the sidewalk in front of the building, and that's 6 foot wide in front and 5 foot wide on the side, which I identified before. D are details he wants us to provide. 1, 2, 3, 4, which we agreed to. E is the meets and bounds description he wants for the conservation area, which we agreed to. F is the light fixtures in front of the building. And we need to clarify that for him, and we will. There's one right in front of the building.
So what is it? Is it a building light or is it a freestanding light?
These are freestanding lights, Matt.
So this project has only 2 freestanding lights, one in front, one in the back. Do I read that right?
We have one in front of the building and one at the island right by 33. They're both facing each other, and they provide the light fixtures you need, the light foot candles you need.
All right, so 2 lights. I wasn't sure. It looked a little crazy. So 2 lights. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. The architect's plan will be revised to match our site plan, so that we're both on the same page of 4,100 square feet. The EIS mentions the T&E study, which has been done and submitted to the planning board. And I identified that there was no issue with that wood turtle from that study, which is about 10 pages. The dumpster location would be put in the, left front corner of the parking lot, and it would be enclosed with a enclosure that matches the facade of the building.
Could you please run your cursor over that so we can see it? I'm not finding the dumpster.
It's in the middle of the parking lot, right?
Right there. That's right. The last space on the left side.
Correct.
That's That's not a parking space. That's the dumpster.
Okay, and that'll be that X has a square around it, and that'll be the enclosure.
Yes. That will match the building facade.
All right. Hey, while I'm asking questions, what's the difference between the parking lot that appears with cross hatching and without cross hatching?
It's pervious pavers.
The parking lot with cross hatching is the pervious pavers for stormwater management under the new regulation.
Okay, got it.
A lot of applications these days has that. It's actually part of the green infrastructure designs. So,
okay. Might as well
get used to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, John, while I'm on a roll, so where exactly is the basin? Is it here, and I just don't see it?
The stormwater. There is no stormwater basin. There's a 36-inch pipe that runs from Route 33 back to a point behind in the right rear corner of the building. It ends about there, and then at that point, that's all 36-inch. It's about 240-50 feet of pipe that's used for stormwater detention. Then there's a
15-inch pipe.
But then there's 15-inch pipe that takes the water out to a discharge point, and then it discharges at that point, at the end of that green sliver.
Get a map out.
So that tail we see to the left of the map is the clearing for the stormwater discharge?
Correct.
There's a 15-inch pipe there. And around the parking lot, you have 36-inch pipe that holds the water.
Yeah, there you can see it on this plan now.
I'm not shared this yet.
I haven't shared it.
We don't see it.
What is the percentage? What is the percentage of impervious coverage?
Look at the map.
There's your drainage.
All right. Thanks. And Tom had a question.
Yes. What is the percentage of impervious coverage on the property?
27.7% of lot coverage versus 50% allowed.
Right.
Building coverage is 25% allowed. We have 7.68%.
Hey, on the stormwater, do you, Mr. Plaskanka, do you need DEP approval, or is this only approved through soil conservation and MAT?
We will need a DEP approval for the discharge and through the wetlands and the wetlands buffer.
And also Delaware and Raritan Canal Commission also have to approve it.
Correct, and we have the first report back from them.
Okay, that's
on my report, condition of the approval.
Okay, but Mr. Plaskanka, for our purposes tonight, it's your testimony that the design as shown is anticipated to conform with all of the applicable regulations?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so the maintenance of the impervious surface, as well as, of course, the stormwater system, that is on the property owner, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And just give me a little 10-second seminar in how do you maintain the impervious pavers in the winter when it's snowy or icy or even when it's sunny?
Pervious.
Okay. All right. I'm the chairman. I'm not the engineer. I don't have to use the right words.
There's no one in a manual that's been prepared that's for that purpose that has to be followed by the applicant.
I believe every 6 months we get a report, and they actually go out every 3 or 6 months. They actually vacuum the asphalt, the pervious asphalt, to clear all the openings. So.
Okay, and that report is submitted to you, Matt?
To me and the township, yes.
Okay, well, as these type of situations come online and those reports start getting submitted, maybe we'll just have to make a moment in our agenda to get a report from you to see how the world is working.
Yeah, there. I think we had 3 or 4 of them this year already proposed.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Plaskanka, I've interrupted you for like 15 minutes straight, so the floor is back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the grading and drainage issues, I think we covered those items, A, B, and C.
Going back to drainage, that they are asking for a very minor waiver. It's listed on my item 5C.
C1.
And the one list of waiver, 0.05 cubic feet per second. And I've talked to John and his gang. We have recommended some changes and a few more bushes and trees that we think it will take it away. So they're going to try that. And if it works, they will not need this waiver. And if it doesn't work, I think we should have a, you know, approval. It should be a condition that we do waive that requirement. It's very minor and negligent, so.
Is that also a waiver that they would need from the state, or is that just through your
office? We get the waivers, and every year at the end of the year, we report all the waivers to the state.
Okay, so the applicant's position based on that, Matt, would be that if the board were inclined to grant an approval, that approval should include the waiver with the understanding that the applicant will continue to work with your office to minimize or avoid it.
That's correct.
Okay. We concur.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Continuing, we talked about the porous pavement D in some detail and the O&M manual E. And we will provide again F, any other details Matt needs for the O&M manual. And we'll address G, all the items is report G 1 through
6.
3, 6, 1 through 6. And so we're satisfied that what Matt has asked for is reasonable and that we can provide 99% of it, except for that one issue which we're going to try to work out on that waiver issue. And then the last part of his report is the different agencies that he's identified, and I went through those again before. I'll do it one more time, though. That Freehold Soil has been approved. Monmouth County has no interest in the county state highway. The Board of Health is in process. Fire commissioners, I didn't see a report from the fire commissioners, but there is one. We'll take care of it or make sure we mark the aisles where fire access is allowed. Patriot Commission, we have a report. We're going to comply. Environmental Commission, we're going to comply. We have the LOI from DEP, and we are working with DNR Canal, and we'll provide the conservation easement dedication and the monumentation. We'll do the developer's agreement, performance bond, inspection fees, DOT we have to obtain, and we are asking for the soil removal and import permit. I think that covers Mr. Shafai's report. And as I said at the beginning, basically we say yes to what he wants because it's just reasonable to fine-tune those items.
I had two follow-ups. First, with regard to the variances, will we hear that testimony through your planner, Mr. Plaskanka?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. And then second, I just want to go back to the soil import. So Matt estimated it's about 100 trucks. I just want to get some feel for 100 trucks equals how many business days of activity?
Depends how much. From me or from Matt, I think you're talking maybe a week to 2 weeks maximum.
Okay, I just wanted to get some perspective. Is 100 trucks 100 days, but it sounds like 100 trucks is 10
days. No, definitely not. I think 2-3 days, but a week is a good number. And again, the good thing is it's on a state highway, so it shouldn't affect any local roads.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I just needed to get a little perspective on what we were talking about. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Plaskanka? Although I'd like to open it up to the board members, of course, if they have any questions.
I've covered the area I had to cover. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Does anyone else have on the board have any other questions?
Wait, if you don't mind.
Mr. Chairman, may I just jump in? I want to ask Mr. Plaskanka one other area of questioning, if that's all right.
Oh, of course. I didn't mean to jump. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Plaskanka, the septic, the design of the septic field, can you just touch on that so that in case the board members have any questions, we will have at least addressed it preemptively?
Well, the septic system is designed in accordance with the septic regulations of the state of New Jersey, and we prepare a plan that goes to the Board of Health at the county. The county, Monmouth County Board of Health, reviews and approves the plan. So we've taken the septic system, we've placed it in an area just to the east of our store where we did a test, and we made sure that location was satisfactory. We know there was a plan that was approved by the board just to our east, and we made sure that our septic system was far enough away from that system so there would be no issue with the adjoining approved plan.
Is the septic plan submitted to Mr. Shafai?
No, it goes to the Monmouth.
Yeah, we don't look at it. That goes to Monmouth County Board of Health. We don't look at it.
And Mr. Plaskanka, that has been done and approved?
No, it is in process.
Okay, good. But we will have to get that approved. That would have to be a condition of...
It is. It's on our report.
Okay, good.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Matt outlined all the outside agencies, and I outlined which ones we already have and which ones we don't have, like DOT and DNR Canal, and Board of Health has to still be obtained.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, that's all the questions I have for now. So if you or the board members have more questions of Mr. Plaskanka, he'll respond to you.
Okay.
Thank you, if I may.
Of course.
So in the center of the parking lot, and I apologize if you reviewed this earlier, but what is this U-shaped structure?
In the center of the parking lot, there is a parking space. It's done there to get the 27 spaces required. And it's also kind of it looks kind of strange, but it also keeps cars from running strictly in or moving around there pretty easily. So it's a maybe an area of protection somewhat. If the board doesn't want that space there, we can limit it, but then we need a variance for one parking space, I believe.
Okay, so it's just a parking space. There's no walls or anything around it.
It's just a parking space with the striping.
I told him to take it out, put a fountain there.
And then the only other question I have is, do we need loading docks for deliveries?
Deliveries are by box trucks that come in during the day, and there is no loading docks at all.
Okay.
Just regular box trucks or UPS trucks. So okay. There's no need for a loading dock.
Okay. I just don't know if there's any tractor trailers that were coming on the property because I can't see them maneuvering around here very easily.
No tractor trailers.
Okay. Thank you.
Just on that topic to the parking space, I actually didn't know what that was either. So it would seem to me that I might suggest that your traffic engineer, Mr. Kennel, give us the pros and cons between having the space, causing people to not understand what's happening versus the benefit of potentially a one parking spot variance. And I'm not suggesting that's the right answer or the wrong answer, but it's certainly something that could use a couple more minutes of debate from your consultants.
I agree, Mitch. It just looks confusing where it's at, and you don't want to have accidents there.
You wouldn't expect it to be there. So I'm there in a spot, and all of a sudden you know, I don't expect a fountain either, Matt, by the way. But
no, when I first saw it, I'm like, what the heck is that?
Okay, you're down for a fountain. I hear you.
But there is 24-foot aisle, you know, driveway that goes all around it. There's plenty of room around it. So,
yeah, I hear you. I'm just yeah. saying it but, no, feels I weird.
I could understand. No problem,
Mr. Newman.
Yeah.
Can you please inquire if Mr. Scott Kennel is signed in?
Yes,
he is in.
Would this be an appropriate time to ask him that question since we're on it now?
Before we get to that, I just wanted to ask our planner, McKinley, is there anything you wanted to address regarding this engineering testimony, or do you want to hang in there till the planning and architecture?
I think most of my questions revolve around the operations of some of the proposed as well as the planning and architecture. The question that Stacy raised about loading, that was in there. They do need a waiver for a deficient loading space. But I think I'll hold the rest of my comments until the planner and architect speak.
Okay. Thank you. And then, Mr. Stone, I think that'd be a great idea. Let's get your witness set up and knock this one out of the park.
Okay. Mr. Kennel, can you sign in and then you can be sworn?
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to swear in, Mr. Kennel?
I will swear him in. Yes. To raise right hand and be sworn, do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state your name and address.
Sure. Scott Kennel, K-E-N-N-E-L, with McDonough and Ray Associates, located at 1431 Lakewood Road, Manasquan. I'm a principal with McDonough and Ray Associates. I have over 35 years of traffic and transportation planning experience. I have testified in Millstone previously. I have prepared over 1,000 traffic impact studies. I've prepared over 1,000 NJDOT access permits, and I've been qualified in over 1,000 applications in 100 municipalities. Mm. And I've also been qualified as a traffic expert in New Jersey Superior Court on 3 land use matters.
Okay, Mr. Stein and Mr. Chairman, members of the board, would move and offer Mr. Kennel as an engineer qualified in traffic engineering.
Okay, and that is, of course, is acceptable to proceed. I just had a procedural question, Mr. Stone, just so I'm following the game plan. Mr. Kennel is going to address this issue of this parking space that we've identified. Do you anticipate he just runs with his testimony, or will then you go back to your order of the planner?
That I will defer that to you. I can do it either way, but what I intended to do was let's answer this question raised by the board member. I'll move to the planner, and at the end of the application, Mr. Kennel can field any questions that the board might have.
Okay. Yeah. Then let's hit this surgical issue now. I like it. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Kennel, I take it you heard the inquiry from one or both of the board members. Can you respond to that?
Yes, it would be my expert opinion that the one parking space in the center of the parking area could be striped off and eliminate that space. 26 parking spaces for a 4,100 square foot retail building, in my opinion, is more than adequate. We're at almost 6.5 parking spaces per 1,000 square feet. Retail generally requires in the industry of 5 spaces per 1,000 square feet. And given the high turnover nature of this use, again, it isn't as if someone's going to be purchasing products here and spending an hour. They're typically anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. So given the high frequency of turnover, the parking supply based on the size of the building, it'd be my recommendation that we'd stripe that off and eliminate that space, but not put any fixed curbing or anything so that it provides additional maneuverability for delivery vehicles.
Mr. Chairman, I think that adequately responds to it. However, that would require that there'd be a single variance for that elimination of that parking space, which certainly would be covered under the notice that we provided in the catch-all category.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just had one follow-up, though. You're, Mr. Kennel, you're suggesting that you continue to stripe that square in the middle. Why bother doing anything there if we're eliminating the spot? And I'm not suggesting, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess it's kind of, and I think as Mr. Pusconco is stating, it just kind of, it's more of a, for lack of a better term, traffic calming. It just kind of formalizes where the aisles are and where people park. And I mean, we can leave it unstriped. It can be either way. I'm not adverse to, you know, whether it's striped or unstriped.
100% want to follow the guidance of the professionals. What's your guidance on this?
Again, if it's, my opinion is if it's striped, that kind of just, you know, it makes it more, defines the parking aisles, and it's not a free for all. So, I mean, I think if it's a striped island, that, may work best for this site.
Okay. Matt, how do you feel about that? You're on mute.
Yes, I agree that it should be striped. I'm sorry. It should be striped. You have 24-foot driveways going all around it. So if you take that out, you have a massive 60-feet wide driveway area. So it should definitely be striped.
Okay. So then, Mr. Stone, I would anticipate that your planner can give us a little bit more color on the on this variance that has been identified.
Yeah, we can do that. And of course, without being presumptuous, if the board ultimately approves the application, then as a condition of the approval, we'll do whatever Mr. Shafai recommends.
Okay. Did any other board members have any questions for Mr. Kennel on this topic? We'll get another crack at him later. Okay. All right. I had one, Mike, a procedural question. Is it recommended that we allow the public to ask questions of the witnesses one at a time, or save the public comment and questions for the end of the presentation?
You can do it either way, but I think it's more organized if you wait till the end.
Okay. Any board member have any concern with that? I'm okay with it. Okay. Seeing none, then let's continue this course of procedure. So, Mr. Stone, back to you, anticipating okay. Your planners next.
Yep, that's correct. Mr. Higgins, can you sign in and have Mr. Stotts see you in?
Yep, I'm in, I think.
Mr. Higgins, would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you're about to give in connection with this application will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And name and address.
It's James W. Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S, 14 Tilton Drive, Ocean, New Jersey. I am a licensed planner in the state. I've been licensed. I'm actually a newbie compared to Mr. Pusconco because I've only been doing this for 43 years, not 50 years. And I've testified before numerous boards throughout the state as well as this board as an expert in the field of planning. I've testified before superior courts in at least 5 counties as an expert. In the field of planning, have been recognized by the state Supreme Court as an expert in the field of planning.
Mr. Snyder, okay. Mr. Chairman, I would move Mr. Higgins in. May I also ask, is it necessary to keep the diagram on the screen or can we eliminate that?
I prefer it stay there just because it keeps our focus when we're listening to Mr. Higgins' testimony. So, unless you have a reason to take it down.
No, I don't. I just thought, depending upon what was necessary, it's probably a good idea to keep it up.
Yeah, let it ride.
All right.
So, yeah, Mr. Higgins, your qualifications are acceptable as a professional planner. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Higgins, I take it that you were engaged to review this application and to provide testimony. Can you start by giving the board what the applicant is requesting from the board?
Sure. Well, the applicant's requesting to construct a 4,100 square foot retail store with now 26 parking spaces on a vacant lot. The site is a 1.23 acre parcel. It's currently vacant. It has a width of 129.6 feet and a depth of 412.63 feet. It's in an area of mixed uses. You have office and commercial uses on either side, as well as residential uses. You have an agricultural use to the south, to the rear of the property, and across Route 33 from the site, you actually have a gasoline station. So it's an area of mixed uses, predominantly commercial, but definitely mixed.
And what zone is it in? What zone is it in?
That's what I was getting to that. It's in the HC Highway Commercial Zone. That permits a variety of commercial uses on lots with a minimum width of 250 feet. And again, this lot is almost a little bit more than half of the 250 feet in width and a minimum area of 3 acres. And the lot area is actually less than half of the minimum area that's required. It's an isolated undersized lot, and the applicant is, and this site is also encumbered significantly by wetlands and wetlands buffer at the southern part, the rear of the site. So roughly a little over half of the site is available for development, and the balance of the site is actually going to be dedicated to the township with an easement for environmental purposes to preserve those wetlands.
Let's move into your C variance analysis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are a number of C variances that are necessary for the application. In all instances, I think these C variances are related to a specific hardship with this site due to the fact that the site is undersized in width and in area, and approximately half of the site is encumbered by wetlands and wetland buffers. The three variances that are existing that are not impacted by this application, other than the fact that the applicant is proposing to build on the site, are the lot width, the lot area, and the lot depth, all of which are non-conforming. And there doesn't seem to be a reasonable way to increase any of those. So those are variances that, without the granting of those variances, the site couldn't be developed. There's also...
Does that fall into the category of... hardship variance.
It's hardship, absolutely. All of these are C1 hardship variances. The variances for side yard setback, there's a variance for side yard setback on one side, and there's a variance for side yards, for combined side yard setbacks. The single side setback requirement in the zone is 40 feet, and the required combined side yard setback is 100 feet. If you apply those standards to this site, you would have a building that was only 29.6 feet wide. What the applicant is proposing is a reasonably sized building. It's 54 feet wide, which is approximately one third the width that would be permitted if this was a conforming lot, a conforming width. The setbacks that are being requested on the sides, on one side, you have a setback of 24.8 feet. Again, where the ordinance permits requires 40 feet. And then the combined setbacks, you have setbacks of 75.4 feet where the ordinance requires 100 feet. And again, those are significant when you consider the very narrow width of the lot. What I did is a comparison of what the open space that would be provided with a conforming lot with a conforming setback as opposed to be what's being provided by the applicant. With regard to the 100-foot side yard setback on a 250-foot wide lot, that would be 40% of the lot width would be consumed by the side yard setbacks. The combined setbacks of 75.4 feet the applicant's proposing equates to 58% of the lot width. So in terms of light, air, and open space, very clearly what's being proposed here exceeds what would be required by the ordinance if this were a fully conforming lot with a conforming building. Similarly, where you have one side yard setback, the ordinance requires 40 feet, and that's 16% of the lot width if it was a 250 foot wide lot. What's proposed is 24.8 feet of a side yard setback, which equates to 19% of the lot width. So again, whether you're looking at one side or both sides, what's being proposed here in terms of percentage of lot width, which I think really goes directly to provision of light, air, and open space, is greater than what the ordinance would require if this was a fully conforming lot with a conforming building. In addition, the setbacks in terms of front and rear, the front yard setback that's required is 100 feet. The applicant's proposing 122 feet in the front, and the rear yard setback that's required is 75 feet, and what's being proposed is 163.9 feet. So clearly, in terms of adequate light, air, and open space, and in terms of what makes sense in terms of scale for the development of the property, I think the setbacks that are being proposed, particularly the side yard setbacks that require variances, are very reasonable. And I think that in terms of scale, they fit in very nicely.
Let's talk a little bit about the balancing test of positive and negative criteria. I'm assuming you were going to go into that next.
Well, I think I just really just went through that in terms of light, air, and open space. That is the primary consideration when you're talking about setbacks, and is there any negative impact as to light, air, and open space? And actually, the open space that's being provided is greater than what the ordinance would provide if this was a full 250 feet. So I don't see any substantial negative impact with regard to those variances on the on your ordinance or on the zone plan. There's also a variance necessary for the setback of the parking in the front of the lot. The ordinance requires 20 feet, and what's being proposed is 10 feet. And again, the reason for that is a hardship that this is an undersized lot, and the rear, approximately one half of the rear of the lot is encumbered. So all of the development on the site is being forced up to the front of the site. To fully comply with that 20 foot setback would, by my calculation, would require the loss of an additional four parking spaces, which would mean a greater parking variance or a reduction of the building of over of 600 square feet, which would then be about 1% of the lot area and more than 10% of the size of the building that's being proposed here. So that would be a significant reduction in the size of the building. And that area, that 10-foot area, can be landscaped. And again, it's also the 20 feet is predicated on a lot that is much larger, with a much larger building, would have much more visual impact, and a much larger parking area that would have much more visual impact. So I don't see any substantial negative impact in that regard. There is also a variance necessary for, which has been discussed earlier tonight, number of parking spaces. The ordinance would require 27. With the elimination of that one parking space in the center of the parking lot, there would be 26 spaces. My calculation is, well, first of all, the ordinance requires one space for every 150 square feet of building area. If you reduce that, the parking to 26 spaces, my calculation is that you would have one space for every 158 square feet in area. And I will defer to Mr. Kennel if he wants to make more comments on that, but I think that is more than adequate for a retail use of this size. Usually the general standard for parking for retail uses is around five spaces per 1,000 or one per 200. So there should still be adequate parking on the site. There's probably a surplus of parking on the site. The only other variance that I saw was the variance for the loading space. And again, this is a very small building. As Mr. Plaskanka said, it's going to provide, going to be served by box trucks and UPS trucks, not by tractor trailers. So I don't see a need for a formal loading space. And quite frankly, I would think that a condition of approval would be that tractor trailers not be allowed to deliver to the site, because there's just not enough room on the site for that to take place, to take place safely, in my opinion. And again, I'll defer to Mr. Kennel on that, since he's the expert in that area more so than I am. So when I look at that, I think that there's clearly a hardship involved with the size of the site, the environmental constraints of the site that dictate all the variances that are being requested. I don't see any substantial negative impact either to surrounding properties. What's being proposed here is a use that's permitted in the zone. It's a relatively small building compared to what could be permitted on a fully conforming lot. And just by comparison, if you had a fully conforming lot with your 25% lot coverage, a 32,600 square foot building could be constructed on the site. What's being proposed here is a 4,100 square foot building, and it's similar in size and similar in character to other commercial uses in the immediate vicinity of the site. So I don't see where there's a substantial detriment on surrounding properties, and I don't see where there's a substantial detriment to your zone plan or your zoning ordinance.
Mr. Higgins, and I'm probably jumping in, Mr. Stone, sorry about that, but you said something that just caught my ear for a second. If you eliminated four parking spaces, then you eliminate a variance. If I heard you right, could you remind me what you said?
Yeah. If you eliminate the four parking, in order to provide the 20-foot setback of the parking area in the front of the site, along the front property line, which the ordinance requires, the applicant's proposing 10 feet. In order to provide that 20 feet, my calculation is that you would lose four parking spaces. So you're down to 22 parking spaces now, which again would be about, I'm just guessing without doing calculating, would be about one space for every 185 square feet.
So I'm just, and then I'm staring at this to try to get it right. So when you enter the site and at the bottom of the map, we see that dashed line, or I'm sorry, that goes along the property. So that dashed line, is that the 20 feet?
I mean, look, because I don't have that on my screen, I somehow eliminated it. No, that is not the 20 feet. That is, it says DTS right of way, and I defer to Mr. Pluskonka as to what that means. The 20 feet would be approximately, if you look at the first parking space that's in the lower, be the south or the northeast corner of the lot, the lower portion.
Got it.
Okay. It would be coincident with the far side of that parking space. If you eliminated that parking space, that would be approximately 20 feet from the front property line to that.
Okay. All right. And that is somewhat consistent with that right of way line by coincidence. So, okay. So now I see where you're talking about that. If you lopped off those four spots on the top part of the entrance, you would be,
what you would actually do is lop off the two spots facing one side and the two spots facing the other side, move those four spots back. Another alternative would be you could provide like 18.
Can you show your mouse exactly what you're talking about?
I don't have that on the screen.
I just said these two. So what we will do is move this parking back and eliminate these two.
We're going to lose the four in front.
No. We lose these two here.
Okay.
And these two here. Then we move the parking in the
okay.
back.
Okay. All right. So we're losing two on the west side and two on the east side, and then we slide everything back.
Okay. So the value to that is you don't need the variance for whatever that's worth, but you also are effectively sliding the pavement away from the road or the view shed of the road by the width of two parking spaces.
That's correct.
Okay, which in turn gives you four parking spaces worth of additional green space.
Yes. And quite frankly, I still think there would be adequate parking on the site for this use if we did that.
Yeah, no, I get it, and I'm not trying to throw around parking variances, but I'm just trying to balance, because I do appreciate the fact that as a retail liquor store, your audience is probably, as you suggested, in and out in minutes, not hours or half hours. So it does create an interesting opportunity for more green, that the board will debate at the right moment. Next question. Does Millstone have a floor area ratio requirement in this zone?
No, Mr. Chairman, you don't.
Okay. All right. Just,
Mitch, I have another question in this category.
Yeah.
A couple things with the parking. One, with only 10 feet from the highway instead of the 20 that's supposed to be there, how are we positive that none of the road contaminants or the salt from the roadways in the winter will wash into here and wind up somehow going into this pipe that was on the other diagram and wind up being carried back into the wetlands? How are we sure? And in 10 feet, what's going to be in that 10 feet? Is there going to be a berm?
It's not 10 feet. It's not 10 feet from the road. It's 10 feet from the property line.
I thought he said that the parking to the highway is supposed to be 20 and it's only 10.
The highway right-of-way line, not the actual highway.
The setbacks are drawn from the right-of-way line, not from the pavement width. So you probably have close to 20 feet from the pavement.
Yeah, it looks like about 25 feet, yes.
Okay. 16.
So, I think it would help if somebody can show her using the mouse.
You can see that white line on the road. That's your almost edge of pavement. See that white line that curves in?
Mm-hmm.
That's your, right. That's your, yeah.
And so we're sure that with all of the development that's going on 33 up and down this highway, that the state is not going to come in and make this road any wider than they have already envisioned it to be?
They're getting DOT's approval for access permits, so.
Okay, so they're not expecting to add another lane or something down the road when we have all these, all this development that's coming in.
That we know.
Another parking question that I have, and that goes to the handicap spots over here in the corner, and that they're right in the way, it seems, or could be potentially in the way of that dumpster getting emptied and so forth. Another thing that I've seen in a lot of our parking areas in town is when the handicap spaces are on the end, when the snow removal comes, they pile all the snow on the handicap parking spaces. So is there some way that we're knowing that there will not be any kind of conflict with either the snow removal or the dumpster in its current location?
Why can't we just move them to the front of the entrance of the store?
That would be my suggestion, because I think the ADA requires they be as close to the door as possible. Yep. So they could just be moved a couple spaces towards the front.
Okay, that would make me happier since I'm now sensitive to that issue.
Excuse me 1 second on that issue, in that the door here for the building is on the left corner of the building, not in the middle. But we will move the parking spaces over one or two spaces to be right in front of the door.
Can you show us where the door is on the screen?
The left front corner of the building.
If we move those two handicap spots up to right where the entrance is, I think that would satisfy Patricia.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
That makes me happy. Are there any berms anywhere on this property in the landscape plan?
We have landscaping
on the north
side, but no berms.
City berms. There's no berms.
No, there's no berms because especially in the front because of the sight distances looking to the left and to the right, there's a building that you could see to our west. It's very close to the highway. And we want to make sure we have plenty of visibility because that's our DOT permit too.
Now, did the shade tree document suggest 2-foot berms somewhere? And I wasn't quite sure what they were referring to.
Want a berm next to lot 401, 2 feet high.
Yeah, it's a 2-foot berm that they're suggesting.
We have no room.
Not in the front, right?
Next to light 401 to your west.
The west?
Yeah.
We don't have
room. We're grading that area. I don't think we have enough room for a berm there. And we have a storm sewer inlet there, or so we can't do that berm. Maybe we can do it.
Can't you at least do the berm towards the front third of the property?
We could probably do a berm to the front. Again, we'll go back to the shade tree thing and do as much as we can that they've outlined.
Regarding the berms, I remember the last application that we had with this certain site, we were very concerned, or there was concern about the groundwater runoff in the back of the property. What are we doing to prevent this from happening, from the runoff going back into the wetlands?
We're capturing...
Especially with all the, you know, and the topographic of the property is pretty drastic since we're bringing in, you know, this amount of fill. I'm concerned about the runoff in the back of the lot.
We're capturing the water from the development area, taking it underground detention, and then discharging it at a point with a 15-inch pipe to the rear. So we're not just dumping water onto the wetlands or buffer zone.
Even for the erosion, what are we doing for erosion, and that type of thing. I think that's important to stabilize the land, to stabilize the earth there at a very, at the beginning of the site construction.
Yeah, Tom, Free Soil Conservation oversees all this. They actually need their permit. They inspect it. They also have to give us a CO before we close this out. So Free Soil is very involved.
Matt, what is the topographic from the, let's say, the parking lot down towards the wetlands? What is the elevation?
They're not changing elevations in the back half of the property, but in the front where the building is going up about 3-4 feet.
Okay, I remember the last.
They also do need DEP's approval for the discharge, so everybody gets to review this.
Gotcha.
Can I ask a question? Can you go back to the back of the lot where the discharge basin is? I noticed that it's very close to the edge of the property into the next property. How is going to that affect the property next to it?
It's just going this way.
Water. The water is running from basically east to west as you get to the back. And the design is such that there's we're holding the water back, letting it out slowly. And of course, we had to get Freehold Soil to approve this, and we have to get DEP to approve it also, which is in process. So there is no erosion impact on the property.
If you look at the end of the pipe, you'll see all that stone there. That's what that stone's there for. It's the stone is at 0% slope that slows down all the water coming out. That's what that's there for, and Freehold Soil, that's the number one thing they review.
All right, because it looks very, very close to the edge of the property, and I can't imagine it not actually having water flow into the property next door.
It's all wetlands area. It's not like there's a house there or anything. And again, DEP reviews it, Freehold Soil, they all approve this. And that's what that stone's there for, to reduce the flow.
But that's not currently being farmed. I thought that was farmland there.
It's all wet back there.
All right. Is all of the wetlands and the buffer area being put into the conservation area?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yes.
I have a question again in the front of the building. I wanted to ask if we can we go back to the front? You know how we had that parking space in the middle, and we're going to eliminate that. I think for the sake of safety, I think you should put something there to force cars to go around, because what happens is when you have an open parking lot like that, people coming in, the people that are trying to come out of the space and trying to predict which way cars are coming, that's where you're going to have a lot of, I think confusion. If you put something in the middle, it kind of forces people to go around that, and maybe, so that somebody coming out of a parking lot can the parking space can basically predict which way a car's coming.
Looks like Matt's fountain is back.
Our traffic engineer did suggest that we take that area and stripe it, not create any curbing or anything. And we will be doing the striping of that area, subject to Matt's approval.
I've seen people go through over stripes. They just, to them, it's like, I can't park here, but I can drive over it. And I've seen that, even in my parking lot, I've seen that happen over and over again. So I'm not sure if that'll work.
Unfortunately, the flip side of that is that if you put a structure in the middle of that parking lot, it's going to cause a problem in terms of snow removal. It'll be a significant problem in terms of snow removal because it is such a small area.
Okay.
I don't disagree with your comment that there will be somewhat of a little free for all there, but I think you got to balance one against the other. A structure put there will probably be damaged by snow removal equipment.
And cars backing into it or running into it too.
One suggestion I could make would be, rather than striping it, take that area and maybe decorative pavers there to define it much better.
Not a bad idea. That way, if you're on it, you'll hear something that's different on your tires. Okay, so let's see what advice Mr. Kennel will have for us when we get back to him on that, the topic of potential pavers. Unless there's any other board questions, I did want to ask McKinley to jump in and go through any comments or questions she has or her report.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Higgins thoroughly covered all of the criteria for proving their C variance arguments. And I have to agree with his testimony. I think it is a very undersized lot, and they have made significant attempts to not overdevelop this site, I believe. They could have tried for a larger building. They did not. I do believe it is appropriately sized for the site. The conversation about removing some parking spaces to add additional green space, I also agree that the 4,100 square foot retail space could function with just 22 parking spaces instead of the 26 or 27 that we're discussing now. It is at the, I think Mr. Higgins roughly calculated a 1 to 180-ish.
Yes, 1 to 186.3, I think, because I
1 to 186.3, thank you. Math on the spot is not my strong point, so thank you. But that is a very high ratio for a retail store, and especially a liquor store where you're going to, as has already been testified to, you'll have, no one's lingering there. People are going to be in and out in less than 15 minutes. I think your highest volume might be at the holidays. But really, I don't, and I'll again defer to the professional traffic engineers, but from a planning perspective, I don't see an issue with that reduction in parking. I agreed, someone else made a comment, which is, this is not to Mr. Higgins, but I just want to make sure somebody else does testify to this, the concern about the potential conflict between the dumpster and the parking spaces. Wasn't sure whose role was that, but just wanted to get that out there for whoever comes next. But I don't have any further questions for Mr. Higgins. I think his testimony was very thorough, and I very much like the shirt he's wearing also. It's a fun addition to this Wednesday night, so.
Okay, that's your professional opinion, of course. Yeah. I just want to focus on one quick question. I think we know the answer, but we've been talking about the retail store and that people are not there and they're not lingering, as McKinley said. Is there a representation from the applicant that this will not be a service facility where you could sit and drink? It's simply packaged goods?
Well, the license doesn't cover that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure of that. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may interrupt and just swear in Ms. Mertz, because she actually went beyond questions and gave some testimony. So would you raise your right hand and be sworn, McKinley? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony that you have given or may give in connection with this application is the truth, told nothing but the truth?
I do, retroactively and in the future.
Okay, you can't be sworn in forevermore.
Well, this meeting.
Okay. All right. So, sorry for that. All right. Any other questions from any of the board members regarding Mr. Higgins or McKinley regarding planning? Okay. Mr. Stone, it looks like we are ready for your next witness, unless you have anything else from your planner.
No, Jim has really done a nice job covering that. I think I'm going to return back to Mr. Kennel. I think that would be the most efficient way to proceed.
Okay. And I just want to throw one question out for the board. We're now at 8:55 and I'm fine to keep rolling. Does anyone, want to take a 5-minute break that we should consider? Okay. You have, the warriors here ready to keep going.
Yeah. It's to me like we're running a marathon. Let's, continue with, Scott Kennel, Scotty back.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And, Mr. Stein, Mr. Chairman, he's already been sworn and qualified, I take it?
Correct.
All right. I think, Mr. Kennel, the best way to proceed with you, you've heard a lot of inquiry from some of the questions. Maybe you should go right into your analysis and your opinions with regard to some of the suggestions that were made.
Again, I'll speak of the what we had in the center of the parking area that had the parking space that we're suggesting should be removed. That, you know, in lieu of striping, maybe we could use paver blocks or even Belgium block. Sometimes gives a texture that gives a different road noise that can, you know, accomplish the same thing as striping. But, you know, that may be more aesthetically pleasing to have a paver block or a Belgium block in that center area.
What about the removal, the suggestion about removing 4 spaces? How do you feel about the remaining spaces, is that adequate for the site and for the proposed the proposed use?
In my opinion, yes, given the size of the building and the type of use. If we were to eliminate 4 additional spaces and provide 22, that would be adequate to support the proposed liquor store.
Mr. Chairman, might I inquire of you members whether or not that suggestion would be acceptable?
Yeah, I don't mind. Let's take a quick straw poll just so we get a flavor for where the board is thinking. Any members of the board, I'm going to ask this in the negative, I guess, any members of the board against or bothered by the potential reduction of the 4 spaces? Doesn't look like anyone is speaking out against it. So I think
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just for a second, we have that building that's to our west that kind of blocks sight into this property. And we'd prefer to have the parking spaces closer to the road so people coming down would see the activity before they got to our driveway. And just to make a point that when the board approved the site next to us to our east, that had a 10-foot setback on that property also. So we'd like to keep those spaces in if we could next to the road if possible. Thank you.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, after Mr. Kennel provided that opinion, I was going to ask John Pasconka whether or not he had any input. So I'm kind of glad that he referenced that about observation from Route 33. So I think we'd like to keep those extra spaces. Is that your position, John?
Yes, it is. That's my position. I'm with the client here, Mr. Hilare, and that building is almost right on top of the property line, the right away of Route 33 to our west. And I think the spaces up front help us to define the property better. Just as it was approved for the property just to our east last year.
Mr. Kennel, do you have any response to that, that you can help us out? Is there any reason not to have those 4 spaces there?
I mean, I understand the comment from Mr. Pasconka to better identify where the site is for motorists. So from that perspective, I understand what you know, his position is, but as I stated, if the board thinks otherwise, 22 parking spaces would be adequate.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add, Scott, to help the board?
Not unless they have any other specific questions with our June 16, 2020 report. I think I've addressed any of the comments that have come up so far in this proceeding.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would now provide Mr. Kennel to respond to any more of the board's questions.
Sure.
Have a question, Mitch.
Yeah, go ahead, Stacey. I'll follow up.
Sure. And I don't know if I'm off base here, but I have a question for Mr. Kimmels. So on Route 33, I've noticed that there is a lot of tractor trailers. And for example, today on Route 33, where we have the Buy Right Liquors now, Franklin Medical Center used to be on in that building. And I've noticed a lot of tractor trailers parked on Route 33. And this afternoon, I had my daughter there going to the doctor's, and there's three tractor trailers parked on Route 33. And a car could not see leaving the exit onto 33. It almost caused a major accident. What do we do in situations like this? Obviously, it's a traffic issue. Route 33 is getting built up more and more and more. We brought up trailers and no tractor trailers on the property. But what's to stop these tractor trailers from parking, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 on the side of Route 33?
That would require, you know, an adoption if this isn't already in place of no stopping or standing, and contacting NJDOT to have that put in place. This site, as you can see from the exhibit, there's a limited, if no, shoulder along our site frontage. Mm-hmm. So we should not have that issue along this particular site. Okay. But as far as other sections of Route 33 and Millstone, that would be something that mayor and council would suggest to NJDOT for no stopping and standing in those other areas.
All right. But there's not enough space here, correct, for them to just.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm ready for my next witness, unless there's some other questions that you or the board have, Mr. Chairman.
The only question I had is although it's a state highway, is there any need for the applicant to go through any of the traditional trip generation testimony for this opportunity?
I can provide an overview of what was included in a report if it's determined preference.
Give us the short version, please.
Sure. And again, that goes back to the traffic report dated June 16, 2020 that was submitted as part of his application. And as far as base traffic conditions, the data that was considered was traffic counts conducted by McDonough and Ray Associates in 2017. We reviewed 2018 traffic data on 33 adjacent to site that was collected by NJDOT. And we also reviewed June 2019 data collected by Stonefield as part of the Showplace warehouse development. So we've had extensive data to review to establish as our base. And then as far as the site itself and the type of use, we're estimating that it will generate approximately 75 peak hour trips for the weekday PM, late afternoon to Saturday midday, which is consistent with the trip data that has been published by the New Jersey Department of Transportation. And it is developed in the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual. We then looked at how well the site access would work, and we utilized the base data that I referenced earlier. We also included a traffic growth. We also included site-specific traffic from the approved SCEBA development that is just to the east of this site. Considered the Showplace Farms warehouse development. And we also considered the active adult community that's being built, which was approved for K of Nanning, but Toll Brothers is building on westbound Route 33 east of this site. So we took all that into consideration in evaluating how well the site driveway would operate. And we determined that the site driveway would operate a level of service D or better. And what that translates into is approximately 30 seconds of delay for vehicles exiting the site. That is consistent with acceptable parameters by NJDOT. And, you know, we have a driveway design here that provides, good sight lines. So it's my opinion that it can function safely and efficiently, when the store is, completed and it's, you know, has customers visiting the site.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that overview. Matt, are you satisfied with that? Oh, Matt's not there. Matt's on a self-imposed break, I guess. Wait, you back?
Water. Yeah, I read his traffic report. Yeah, again, it's a very small site. There's hardly any cars coming and going, so I have no problems.
Okay, thank you. All right, I thank you for that. Anything else from the board for Mr. Kennel before we move on to the fourth and final witness for the applicant? Seeing none, Mr. Stone, back to you, please.
Thank you.
I'm a little concerned. I was about to call Mr. Winkler. Can I ask if Mike, are you on, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that, Mr. Stieb, you will now swear in our architect, Mike Winkler.
Mr. Winkler, raise your right hand to be sworn, please. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your name and address, please.
My name is Michael Winkler, W-I-N-K-L-E-R. A registered architect in New Jersey. Been registered since 1998. Been in business for myself since 2001. Recently testified for Edison, South Amboy, and Seabright. Have a bachelor's degree in architecture from the New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Mr. Stieb and Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I offer Mr. Winkler as the applicant's architect.
That's acceptable. Please proceed.
Okay. Mike, I don't know. Do you have access to putting up anything on the screen, or are you going to describe what's planned for the site?
Yeah, I don't have access to that unless John has our drawings, he can always put them up.
We're checking if we can put your drawings up. But why don't you just describe the facade, et cetera.
And the right now, how we have a design that's, again, as we said, 4,100 square foot building. It is approximately the highest point right now is about 24 foot 6 inches. Has no basement. It's slab on grade. It is a steel structure. At least that's what we're planning right now, steel structure. Exterior has a northeast entrance, which was at the corner. There was initially some confusion about where the entrance would be, but that is the best spot, best for the handicap access. Oh, there it is. There's our plan. And there's the elevations. Again, use is a liquor store. The owner had wanted a kind of upscale look. His idea was kind of based on recent retail things that you might see, like a Whole Foods, something, you know, something like that. A lot of glass in the front, and the back, basically the sides would be have a little light on the, in the front area with some high bay windows there, but have a lot of space for basically their product, and have walls to store things on. The exterior as we show it now has, and you can see it on that drawing right there, the tan sections were shown as an IFA stucco, which is an insulation system. We have some metal details on there. And then the dark brown and light brown verticals are all brick. And then we had a stone base course with stone cap on it that would run around the three sides that are visible from the highway, the front, and the two other sides. Then we had an elevated entry area just to denote entry. It is a flat roof. We had designed a flat roof so we could try and hide as much of our equipment as we can. We have some, we have obviously have the HVAC equipment. And we'll have some refrigeration equipment for the coolers. So we'd like to keep that off the ground, keep the ground clear, no pads on the ground. Everything goes up top. And what else can I say about that?
How about signage?
Signage, we are showing currently a sign on the interior in the glass. There's a clear story piece of glass up there. We have not really gone into the signage design with the owner yet, but that one was anticipated to be up there, something either Millstone Plaza, Millstone Liquors, but we would comply with the township's ordinances for that. I do not believe that was considered a lighted sign per se, like a neon sign or anything like that. That may even be something that we can do with frosted glass or something like that. So I don't know. I know we have a freestanding sign out on the road, and that would be the main sign for the building.
Okay.
And we have a lot of glass on the front, which I believe is also part of your appearance ordinance there. And we had tried to, in looking at the building, tried to match other retail spaces in the area. That's why we didn't use the split face on most of this, because you have something like the CVS, Millstone Corner, Dugan's Corner, even down the street, there's the Atlantic Aerials building. They all have stucco on them. Some have some bricks, some have, different details, but they are more retail, recognizable as a retail building, whereas your split face, you'll see that in the Tech Park down the street, part of Drake Business Park. You'll see a lot of that down there. Let me see what else I got. The actual building itself, the owner is looking in, I think one of the comments was looking into some low impact items. We have some north facing glass as the main entry there. So that's some passive lighting for you. So we'll have a lot of natural lighting throughout the whole space. It's an open space. We have some lighting on the east and west that's actually had some slats on it. So that'll be shaded. So we won't get too much heat gain off of that. If we do use the IFAS and steel studs in there, we're going to get a higher insulation value. So our insulation values for the walls should actually be higher than is required by the code. And then we're also considering, obviously we have to have light controls. That's code. You have to have water saving systems in the plumbing, which we only have the two bathrooms, which is not much. We would anticipate doing the cool roof, which is a white TPO roof. And then we have recycled materials that we would be using, which is fairly common these days. Recycled masonry, recycled membrane roofing, recycled products in the concrete. And we would also would be considering the flooring. I would have to talk to the client about that, but I do know we kicked around a few different ideas. We haven't gotten to that point of design yet, but polished concrete floors and things like that save on maintenance and maintenance costs and actually chemicals and things like that that are being used when they're cleaning the building. So those are some things we're considering with actual energy saving and low impact items.
Mr. Winkler, I just want to go back to something you said a moment earlier. Sure. In your testimony. Where do you envision the HVAC systems to be? On the roof or somewhere else?
We would put them where they would be on the roof. Everything would be on the roof that is required mechanically. So you'd have probably, for this size building, we'd probably do two HVAC units, smaller ones. So they would be more residential size, so they would be a lower profile. You wouldn't have anything huge sticking up out of the roof.
So would the height of those HVAC systems exceed the height of the white cap on top of the Millstone Liquor?
No. And actually what I would suggest, it was in your ordinance that I did miss it. I apologize. You call for like a 24 inch parapet, at a flat roof. We were showing it fairly flat. I would add that in, so you would even get a little bit less exposure. If you look at this building section down at the bottom there, you'll see that the roof kind of comes right up to the walls, and we can, make a parapet out of that instead. Raise those walls a little bit higher. So your highest point would be, instead of 24.6, we would be at 26.6. So we would raise that. And you'll see in that section, you'll see both, the front and the back kind of slope towards the middle, which would give us even more depth there where we can, really hide those HVAC units from view. And then we also comply with the parapet section with, draining the water off into the scuppers, which are, you know, nicely designed on the sides of the building as part of the architecture. They're not just thrown on there.
So what is the dark square that we see in the rear and left elevations?
Rear and left. Okay. Dark square at the bottom. There is one small one-story section of the building in the back. That's part of the bathrooms. We didn't see any reason to go two-story with it. So that was just a little one-story, section off the back.
But that's in the, I think it's 4,100 square foot.
Yes, building. That's a part, that's part of the 4,100 square foot. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And there's, I guess there's no need for windows to the extent those are bathrooms.
No, not really.
Okay. I'm just asking. I don't know. Yeah. Suggesting anything. Okay. Does, I interrupted anything further in your testimony?
No, unless you have any questions.
Yeah, I'd open it up to the board if that's okay, Mr. Stone, or you.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
I have a question. On that bottom, I see it says cooler.
Yes.
And can you explain that to me a little bit?
Oh, that would be, basically if you go in, as go into a liquor store, they will have a wall of coolers.
So is that inside the building? Is that inside?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that is inside.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was the side of the building. Okay, it's inside.
Yeah. Okay, good question. I want to just turn it over to McKinley. From a planning perspective and ordinance compliance, are you comfortable that the building as designed and with the additional parapet that was just discussed is adequate?
Yes, yeah, I am. And I think and Mr. Winkler testified that their signage will comply. So, of course, I would just request that that be in any potential resolution of approval since we don't have the details at that time. I'm assuming the signage for the freestanding sign also hasn't really been designed yet. So, again, I would request that a signage package be submitted at the time of, when it has been thoroughly designed so we can confirm that it meets the borough's or the township standards. But besides that, Mr. Winkler answered all of my questions regarding the architecture.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Anything else from Matt or anyone else? No.
Nope. I'm good. Okay.
I want to go back to one thing. So I'm going to ask you to put up a different exhibit. I'm not trying to extend the night, I promise. I just want to see where that entry sign is located. I just did not focus on that location when you had the overall layout plan. And I'm confident that the sign can be submitted as a sign package, as McKinley said, for her review and Matt's review for compliance. And obviously, if they believe something needs to come back to the board, we'll follow their discretion. Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, what's being shown there, Mr. Chairman, is they're showing it 15 feet step back from the front property line, which is the requirement. So they're meeting that. I would assume they will meet the height and square footage of everything. But again, we'll have to get more details when they have those prepared.
So that's 15 feet setback from the property line. That meets the ordinance, I trust.
Yes. Yep. That's the standard. That's the minimum requirement.
And then that's also appears to be, in my best guess, probably another 7 to 10 feet setback from the edge of highway. If that white line is the edge of highway, as we talked about.
Exactly, which is a reason why I would imagine the applicant is requesting to keep the parking spaces and not push everything further back, because the sign itself is a little further back from where the parking is.
Okay. No, and I can certainly respect the marketing concern that came up in the context of that conversation, but the board will have to think about that a little bit more. Right. Anything else from the board? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Mr. Stone if he doesn't have anything further from his witnesses that we might open it to the public.
I think
I have one question. In the rendition of the sides of the building, was there any emergency exits in the sides or the back?
There is an exit out the side.
Okay.
You see where the sidewalk actually, the exhibit that's up now, that sidewalk runs along the back of the building there. And that's adequate for code requirements. Actually above, we're way up, well within code requirements.
Okay. And that was on the plan that you just showed us,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Correct.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And now I can see where those bathrooms shed out to the back with that roof overhang. I didn't catch that first go around. Okay. Got it. All right. Unless there's anything else, I would suggest that we open it up to the public. If any members of the public have any questions, as to any of the witnesses or for that matter, any comments, please raise your hand or otherwise identify yourself. And Linda, I see two hands raised. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yes, two hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why don't we call on the first or the only hand that I can see on my screen. That screen just changed. And I know I won't pronounce the name correctly. Is it Shri is the first name? Is that person available? Mike, you want to help out with some direction here?
Hello.
You're hearing someone.
Yeah, I think we're hearing Shri. We heard a hello, but.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. Do you have do you have a camera you can turn on also?
Yes, please. Yeah, just give me a second.
Of course.
If we go back to full screen so we can see everybody, I can't see anybody.
Okay. Can you see me?
Hey, Mitch, can we go back to full screen so we can see everybody?
Yeah, that would have to be the release of the or removal of the
Okay.
Yes. It's rendering by the applicant.
We're trying to
we need to unshare back. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So now, Shri, if you are able to turn your camera on, otherwise, if you'd like, we can move over to the other neighbor while you're navigating the system.
Mr. Katwal is on screen now.
I'm fine with this.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm on a screen with the name Yomesh, but I'm straight here.
Oh, all right. That's not fair, confusing the chairman and making him look bad. All right. You have the floor. You're and Mike, you can take it from here while I mute myself.
Shri, is it going to be questions or comments or both? I guess it's going to be comments since you're raising your hand. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony that you give in connection with this application will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the
truth? I do.
And just state your name and address for the record.
Srinath J. Kodavala, 54 Oakland Mills Road, Manalapan, New Jersey. I own the property right just east of the subject site. And I just had a conversation with John Pluskanka last week and Bhaskar. One only concern we have, septic system. If John, can you show us the septic system? Or maybe Matt can show us the map?
We were just asked to take the screen down.
Well, let me see if we can do it. One second.
And you can put it back up because it.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
Thanks.
We
see it. It's not the same. This is not what we were looking at before, though. I think you're.
But this is site to the east.
But this is their site.
The picture you see is the project approved to the east that Shri owns and you see our site that were before the board is to the left or to the west. And Sri has asked if we could move our septic system closer away from his septic system, but based on a new design he's working on. And I discussed it with the client, and we designed our septic system based on his approved plan, which is consistent with the regulations. And is that correct, Sri? Am I correct?
The one thing I would say that the regulation says very specifics, the septic regulation, which is a septic code, which is controlled by Monmouth County Health Department. The two septic field has to be 50 feet apart. Anyone builds a septic field, so two septic system cannot be within 50 feet of each other. So what we request is we keep 25 feet from the property line, and we request the applicant to keep 25 feet from the property line. So that way we both comply equally with this rule of 50 feet separation, because the septic fields are always a problem with every commercial property. I've been working in this field. I used to work with John Pluskanka for about like 20 years. And we see the septics are failing. And at that moment, with everything is so tight, we don't leave any space for septic fields. And something goes wrong, and we kind of keep playing with it. So what we were expecting is like 50 feet is a requirement by the state. So we honor it 25 feet for each property. So it gives them enough room in case of something fails, and it gives enough room for us to repair anything we have to. So that is our request to the board, to ask applicant to keep this distance equally, so we both are 50 feet away from each other any case.
Mr. Chairman.
And it can be done. I saw their map.
Mr. Chairman, may I jump in and ask Mr. Pluskanka to address the issue again, that the plan that we submitted for the applicant was consistent with the plan that the adjoining property owner has previously had approved. And at the 11th hour, the adjoining property owner is seeking a modification, an unnecessary modification to the premises that we're dealing with this application. And that is an unfair request at the 11th hour when we conformed with his approval.
I'd like to jump in for a minute here. So Matt, just help me with some of the baseline facts as we're just starting to get a little info here. Is it correct that the two septic systems, as the one is proposed today and the one was approved yesterday, are the compliance distance apart?
I don't have their plan in front of me, but to be honest with you, we never dictate where to put the septic fields in. They go to Board of Health, and Board of Health is the agency who approves them or denies them. I don't know why we're involved with this.
Their septic was another septic.
Yes,
they're parking here.
Okay, so it's your. It sounds like your guidance is that this would be conditioned, or the application before us would be conditioned upon that Board of Health approval, and they will figure this one out. Yeah. And it's not within our jurisdiction.
They're correct. If you look at that plan, what we approved before, the septic field was a little more to the east. But it sounds like they're redesigning it, and it's closer to the west now. But again, we haven't seen this new plan they're talking about. But at the end of the day, it's the Board of Health who reviews and approves these things. We don't. All we do is we say we need Board of Health's approval. That's all we need.
So
wait, Matt, you're saying that the original plan that you saw, the septic field was more to the east?
Yes.
And then the revised plan that you're seeing tonight, it's more to the west?
That's correct. They had they had a parking lot all the way down. Looks like they're taking that parking lot away. So sounds like they're going to come back to us for reapprovals.
Well, then that's a little bit of a, that's a little bit of a problem.
But again, at the end of the day, we don't dictate where the septic should go. That's up to the Board of Health based on their regulations, their setbacks, and their test pit results. We don't really get involved with that.
Well, I know that we don't get involved in that, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm concerned about any septics which are going to fail on Route 33 because I want to maintain the septics on Route 33. I don't want to have a problem. I don't want to have a problem with septics on 33.
And again, we don't review them, we don't inspect them, we don't do anything with these things. I don't know what to tell you, Nancy. It's a Board of Health that's always inspects them, they review them, they approve.
So Matt, where you're driving us is that the septic is located on the plan that is subject to our consideration tonight, and one of the conditions of approval would be Board of Health review and approval.
Like every application we've had all the time, always subject to their approval.
Okay. So, and then when this other property next door comes in for a modification, if that's what they do, they would fall under the same umbrella, as we're learning tonight, means those two septics have to be at least 50 feet apart.
They have to go to Board of Health too, and Board of Health is going to require the 50 feet. So what they're saying is our application, if they put their septic 15 feet from the property line, not 25, that means their septic has to move east a little more, which may not work for them. So, but again, it's really Board of Health. We don't look at these things.
No, but I understand that. I don't have a problem with that, but we have a piece of property where we're being asked, and we have a lot of variances in order to try to fit an application on a piece of property that obviously is non-conforming. And I understand that there was a lot of stuff that was done in order to scale down the project so that we had something that fit, such as the size of the building, to make sure that it fit. But, you know, obviously what we have to be able to do is grant the waivers and so on and so forth. But obviously the properties that are next door and the properties that are along that way all are going to have the same similar problems. So if we're going to say that we recognize that there's going to be a problem, we can't just say, well, we have nothing to do with the septic. And we should not have any concern of where they're going to put the septic. And then we have a property next door that's going to be precluded from doing any work on their property because of the fact that the location of this septic is placed in such a way that nobody's going to be able to develop on another property because they have to be 50 foot away from another septic. Does that make sense? So if we're just talking about something and you're telling me that what you did is the original plan that you saw, the septic was over to the east and then it shifted over today to the west. All right. Maybe we're not going to give the final approval to where the septic is going to be, but if we don't have a reason as to why it shifted over to the west because of the fact of maybe what, you know, if it just didn't perk there or whatever the reason may happen to be, if there's not a reason that we just couldn't move it over to accommodate a potential, property on the other side to be flexible, I don't know what the problem is.
Well, let me ask Mr. Pisconka this question. What is the setback requirement for the septic from the building?
The setback for the septic system is 10 feet from the property line.
The building is 15 feet.
And 15 feet from the building.
What do you have, 15 feet?
Yes. Yes, so we have...
So you meet the requirements.
We meet the requirements of the ordinance, at the 11th it's hour.
It's a Board of Health requirement.
At the 11th hour, the next door neighbor asked for us to change our plans after we've been to all the agencies that you've seen, DNR, Trio Soil, et cetera. And we designed it based on his approved plans. So we did that based on his approved plans. We have a liquor store with a bathroom or two bathrooms, which is extremely low water use. So our system is not going to be impounded very much. I believe Shree's facility may be a restaurant, which may need a much bigger system. I'm not sure what he did before, but his septic system was further to the west. I think it's unfair at this point to my client that we should make an adjustment in our plans, redo the whole plans, put the septic system someplace else, redesign the building, and go back to the board with all new revised plans at thousands and thousands of dollars worth of cost. And when we have an application before the board.
Can I say something?
Mr. Chairman, can
of
I?
Of course. Yes, please here, respond.
Please? Yeah.
Can I say something, sir?
Yeah, you can please respond, sir.
Okay. It's not the 11th hour. I received the notice last Tuesday. As soon as I received the notice, I made a phone call to the engineer. Basker and John, Basker, he works with John Pluskanka. So it's not 11th hour. As soon as we received it, we did not know what they were doing. First time I knew is as soon as I received the notice, I went to the website, downloaded the map, and I say it is not fair because the septics are failing. I have a wetlands buffer there. If you can see my sketch right next to orange is a wetlands buffer there. DEP is reluctant to allow us to move that septic into the buffer. So what we have, and we are keeping 25 feet as well as the applicant can easily keep 25 feet. Applicant is not putting enough effort. They will not lose a single square foot in their building. It's just they have to make an alignment such a way that the septic can fit. I can draw the septic field for them if they need. It is not that they cannot do it. It's just like you're pushing it because it's convenient to you, but it's not needed. Both of them, we can maintain 25 feet. So we are meeting the fairness with the law, and it is not 11th hour again and again. We don't have to repeat that. It is just that as soon as we received the notice, we notified them. So please don't consider just I'm trying to be good neighbor and we want to be fair, 50 feet required. I'm ready to offer 25. Really, I would like to do the same thing as they are doing, 10 feet, but we would not do it.
Okay. And I appreciate that.
We were told that by DOT and other people, make the building smaller and don't have such a big building. So there's a lot of options to you. You got to come back before the board for these changes. You're eliminating parking spaces. You're putting in a bigger septic system. You probably have a restaurant here, which is a very, very high water user. So you may have to reduce the size of the building, but this is a whole different application that you're working on.
You come to
us at the, at the 11th hour of the public hearing.
Can I weigh in here? We're spending a lot of time on an issue that we don't have the authority to make a decision on or to impose conditions on because it's another authority that has a jurisdiction over the approval lease of the septic.
Yeah.
Just same thing as if they had to go to DEP for some kind of permitting. We don't have the ability to tell them, oh no, forget about what DEP is going to say. This is where you're going to put it. That's a DEP issue. This is a third party issue. The board doesn't have jurisdiction to declare or determine whose septic is going to where and fight between or try and referee a fight between adjacent property owners. This is properly before the Board of Health. It's not your jurisdiction. I don't think we should be involved in this. Let these people work it out themselves. They're all engineers. They should be able to work something out.
Okay. I agree with you, Mike. And I agree.
Yeah.
We deal with the application that is before us. And the neighbor has given his comments and opinion and his statements. And the applicant, has rejected making any changes. And it's not our jurisdiction to require it. So I think we've exhausted this topic unless the neighbor has anything else they'd like to bring to our attention.
No, it just, I have nothing else to say, but they can easily, without changing the building size, they can achieve this thing. So okay. I just think it's a fair to keep this distance alive for both of us.
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Any other members of the public have anything else they'd like to add, comments or questions? Linda, I don't see any other hands raised or anyone identifying themselves.
Hello.
Oh, wait, is there another one?
Yes.
Under the name of, under the name of Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Would you please Mike, why don't you, take it from here?
Yes. Would you please give us your name and address?
Name is Robert Foreman and, our property is, block 24, lot 702. Our physical address is 379 Woodville Road.
Sir, are you going to be asking questions, giving testimony, or both?
I'm going to ask a question.
Go right ahead.
I don't understand direct discharge of runoff water into the ditch there. It's my understanding that all construction, including residential, has to have a recharge system.
Mr. Plaskanka, do you want to respond to the?
Yeah, we've gone through great lengths in the testimony to explain how we have the porous pavement, the paver blocks, how we have the detention facility, and how we're meeting the new stormwater regulations of the state of New Jersey with this plan. And we've been to Freehold Soil to get their approval, which we have, and we're going to DEP for their approval as part of the application. So we are addressing the stormwater management regulations that exist in the state of New Jersey as of right now.
And that includes the recharge elements of those regulations?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me. Correct me if I'm wrong. But isn't a recharge system supposed to take care of the entire amount of water of runoff without any spillover?
The answer is there is a series of requirements that DEP have put forth in the new regulations, and we meet those requirements in order to build this project.
Will I be contacted by the DEP?
Will you be contacted? You may be getting a notice. How close are you to the property?
I'm right next to it.
On Woodville Road?
Yes.
In the back. In the back here.
What's your lot number?
702.
Okay. And you have wetlands in the back of your property?
It's more on your side than on mine because mine is upland. But now that you're putting more discharge in there, it's going to push the wetlands further my way.
So, Mr. Plaskanka, I just want to let's get a quick answer to this question. The neighbor in lot 702 is asking that when you apply to DEP regarding stormwater discharge and any wetland encroachments, will he receive a specific notice at that time?
Yes, we will. We have to. Any permits we ask for DEP have to be noticed to all property owners within 200 feet.
Okay. So, Mr. Foreman, you will get a notice, which will give you the opportunity to reintroduce your concerns or questions directly to the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or comments, sir?
Not at this point. I just hope there's adequate time for me to respond to these.
Well, this is, to be blunt, this is your time with respect to the planning board. It sounds like you'll have another round of opportunity before the state of New Jersey.
That's what I'm concerned about, the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get notified about it, but it's something that's passed and not get my input?
The permit cannot be issued until we have the application before Trenton. And you're noticed ahead of time, so you have a chance to respond to Trenton.
Okay.
So I would suggest that the applicant consider, just to be a little over the top here, that the applicant would consider a representation as a condition of any potential approval that in addition to any notice requirements that may be required by the state of New Jersey in connection with the application to the DEP for wetland or other stormwater permits or review, that Mr. Foreman be specifically provided that notice.
We concur.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Mr. Foreman.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other members of the public have any comments or questions? I don't see anyone. Lindy, give it the once over, please.
I don't see anyone either.
All right. If we're missing anyone, here's your chance to scream. No screams. All right. Well, then I would suggest that we can proceed and close the public portion of this meeting. Unless there's any other comments or questions from the board members, it might be appropriate to turn it over to the applicant for any final comments. And then I do want the board to talk a minute about our desire or lack of desire to eliminate those four spaces, although it would create a variance, and the applicant is not looking for that variance. A little bit of an odd scenario. So go ahead, Mr. Stone.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I would ordinarily make a brief closing statement, but frankly, I think that the applicant's professionals adequately covered all of the necessary criteria. Of course, Mr. Pasconka did an excellent and articulated by following the board engineers, Mr. Shafai's punch list. And I think he answered every question, including those that were in greater context than even that which was contained in the report. In regard to Jim Higgins, as always, he did a pretty good job. And it sounded to me like in the final analysis, the board's planner agreed with both the presentation and the application of the balancing test between positive and negative criteria. This lot, clearly an undersized lot, it does have at least an opportunity to be developed. There's no ability to acquire any of the land to add to the square footage. I will point out to you that the original plan was for a larger building. The building was reduced by from 44 to 4,100 square feet. That gave a little bit more room for some more green. It gave some additional room for the parking issue. That was also adequately covered by the traffic engineer, Mr. Kennel. And as far, you know, I can't comment upon architecture, but it looks like a vast improvement to the vacant lot. It's a clean, nice looking building, and it's a fair development of a site that requires some relief. I can't imagine any other use that would seek less relief than this applicant is requesting. And I will rely upon the reports, and I would submit that this is a good application to be approved. I will not comment. I think Mr. Steib also adequately addressed the issue of the adjoining property owner's issue, that he is correct, as I see it, that that's not an issue for this board. You have an application
Linda, let Stacy back in.
Mr. Stone, I want to use the privilege of the chair and go backwards. And this is more of a question perhaps for our consultant, for the Millstone consultants. We have learned a little bit outside of this topic about electrical vehicle charging stations. Are there any required or proposed in connection with this application?
Are you talking about in reference to the new ordinance state requirements?
Yeah, the new state model ordinance, and whether it seems to me, and I know I'm not trying to testify, but whether we adopt that model and ordinance or not, I think it's, or a change to it, I think it's in effect.
Yeah, I actually, I'll have to defer to Mike on this because all of the discussion that I've had in my circles, there's some legal ambiguity about where if a municipality hasn't adopted the ordinance yet, where the requirements come in. So Mike, I don't know if you have any better insight on that one.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Well, okay. And I respect the fact that this is an emerging area of the law. So I would suggest that any, and throw this out to the applicant and the board, that any application, any approval that the board would consider here would be further conditioned upon compliance with the applicable, electrical charging vehicle station laws, that may be in effect today.
I would defer to the engineer on that, Mr. Newman. However, I fear that that may be somewhat premature because the only information we're getting on that new state requirement, I heard on the news today that there was an issue that they're looking to have so many statewide charging stations. I'm not sure that a private land. I'm not sure where those.
I'm a different. I meant variance for
where they're going to go.
No, and I respect the lack of clarity on this, and I did not attend the seminar today at the New Jersey Builders Convention, so I don't have any more information to share. But that's why I would like to keep it somewhat open. That to the extent that the law requires it, that you would comply, and I would look to Mr. Shafai to work with you to determine, if required, where they would be located.
To the west.
Okay, is that acceptable?
I would say we can confer. We agree that if that's the law, we will meet the law.
Okay, perfect. That is, of course, the right answer. Thank you. All right, so we'll all figure this out as we go along. And I apologize for dropping back to an issue that I should have thought about earlier. So we have the conclusion of the testimony and the summation. We've heard from the public and the various members. Is there any other board conversation or anything else any of the board members want to bring to the table before I ask for a motion?
Chairman?
Yes.
Good evening. Hi, this is Yomesh Patel, a Muslim resident.
Yeah, I understand. I just as a matter of course, the public comment portion of the meeting has been closed. It would not be in the normal course to reopen that part of the meeting, Mike, yeah, unless you think I'm off base.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
You did not talk about the variances at all, and there's a residential on the west of the property.
Yeah, and we did talk, and the applicant did provide testimony on the variances, and our planner did address that testimony. So I think the appropriate thing to do would be to put your microphone on mute, given that the public comment portion is concluded.
Yeah, we have a recording, and you can verify that the applicant never talked about the residential and non-residential.
Okay, thank you. So any other board member comments or questions before we move for a motion?
Chairman Newman, I'd just like to go back to the issue of the four parking spaces.
Yes,
and
please.
See if there is any other support on the board for considering taking that variance out of the picture by having dropping back to the 20-foot setback, and since it will not affect the size of the building, to go with the lesser parking spaces. I just want to revisit that and see where the consensus is among the board members.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Can we ask the applicant to stop sharing their screen also?
Okay, sure. So I'll weigh in on that first because initially my thought was there was value in moving the parking back and losing those four spots. But on the other side of the coin, I very much respect the fact that there's a value to having the site visible and that will increase the utility and opportunity for success. And if we're inclined to approve the application, I feel only personally, not everyone's entitled to their opinion, that the marketability of the site and the visibility has an equal trade-off value in my mind that we should respect. So that is a very round way of saying that I would reconsider my original position and leave the parking where it is. If the applicant could lose four spaces in another location, because I do appreciate trading pavement for grass, I'd be more inclined to see that than move the parking away from the road, based on what I heard.
Okay. One question that I'd like to understand better is, why do we have standards if we're going to, when we have an option, not abide by them? Because this would affect up and down the entire highway, correct?
Absolutely.
Every site by site. So why would we have that standard? And I understand if it was a hardship, but it sounds like it's not. So okay. why would we abandon it?
And not something I want to debate with you. There is, of course, opportunities for variance, and they presented their testimony, which is an opportunity for us to vote yes or no. If anyone else would like to weigh in on this, that's fine. Otherwise, the board will have my thoughts and your thoughts. Okay. All right, there you go. So at this point, I would suggest that the next step would be a motion, and I would suggest the motion be in the context of a motion to approve with conditions that Mike could enunciate for us. And then if someone is not comfortable, they would vote in the negative on such a motion. Or after the motion is proposed, we can discuss some of the details of that motion. So would somebody like to propose a motion in the affirmative? And Mike, would you first please read proposed conditions? Maybe that'll help.
Something's wrong with our internet.
Okay. Am I audible? Everyone here?
Yes.
Okay. So the conditions that I have would be first, under the Shafai review letter under grading and drainage, number 5C, require a waiver. The waiver required the applicant is to work with the board engineer to either minimize or to avoid entirely the 2-year storm rate reduction. With respect to the vehicle parking law, as far as charging stations, the applicant will comply with whatever applicable regulations are in effect at this time. The loading space area, there will be no tractor trailer deliveries. The applicant's going to move the ADA spaces in front of the entry door. There's a flat roof. All mechanicals and roof areas will be screened from view by a parapet that's going to increase the height to 26.6 feet. The Board of Health approval will have to be obtained for the septic system, and the applicants to provide a notice of their DEP application to the adjacent property owner, Foreman, on lot 7.02. And I'm not sure what the what you're going to want as far as parking spaces.
And I might add that I think we didn't get into it too deeply, but I think that there was an opportunity for another condition to be that central area of the parking be considered as a brick paver style, so that it's more than just striping. It's something that your car tires will feel if they go over it on purpose or by accident.
Pervious pavers.
Pervious pay. All right, I'll keep saying it wrong. Okay.
Thank you.
Got it.
And of course, you have all my conditions on my report.
Conditions of your approval, yes, and yours.
And the approval also includes approving of the soil importation. Thank you. It's in my conditions.
Got it. So that is the. That would be the conditions. A motion would be in the affirmative, and I would suspect that either now or in the context of looking at that motion, we can determine if the board is inclined to require the 4 parking spot reduction or not. Would someone like to make that motion? I'll take that on. I'll make the motion to approve subject to the conditions we heard. My motion will include and I'll say this very specifically in case anyone wants to debate it, which it is open to, would include a desire not to move the parking back and to allow the variance at the front of the site for the parking intrusion. But as I said, that's a singular thought. Is there a second to that motion? And if there's not a second to the motion, then the motion doesn't carry, and we would ask if there's an alternate motion.
I'll make an alternate motion.
Okay, so seeing no second, my motion fails, and Tom, you have the floor for your motion.
Yeah, I vote no. I can't in right conscience approve the application.
So your motion is to deny?
Correct.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I second the motion, Rose.
Second.
Any comments or thoughts from any of the board members before we...
Mr. Chairman, can I ask respectfully that if...
Not at this point.
I'd like to make a comment. The reason why I'm going in that direction, there's too much impact on... Now we have two neighbors, a lot of unknowns. And this was brought in front of us, and there's still a lot of unknowns about DEP, and I think maybe a lot of that should have been taken care of before it came. I don't know, but I just impacting two neighbors right there, and I think right now it's premature, and I can't in good conscience vote for this.
Well, I think there's a little bit of sloppiness to this, and I think that that's what the problem is. And I think when we're talking about, I'm going to tell you, I agree with Pat. We do have standards. And when we're talking about, the parking spaces, if we don't need a variance, and I understand wanting to have the ability to be able to business recognized and having the site and the ability to be able to see that there is a business that's there. I have no problem. But we do have standards and we do have ordinances that regulate how buildings are supposed to be made, and we're supposed to adhere to them. I understand that we had to have variances in this particular application because of the fact that the site is a non-conforming lot. And I have to commend the applicant for doing what he did in order to adhere to that. But I have a little bit of concern because I know that we also have a lot of wetlands, which is in the back, and we still don't have that issue resolved. And I'm concerned about the foremans, and really, I'm not really sure that, and there's a statement which is in there about the compliance with the stormwater regulations and whether all of that recharge is going to remain on the land or it's not going to remain on the land. I'm not necessarily sure that we got our answers on that yet. We still don't have confirmation that that's going to take place. I have a question about the issue with the parking spaces as well. And I just don't want to just rush through this thing. So I think that we have some questions. Now maybe we can resolve it tonight if we just sit back and we go back point for point. But just to say, we don't have to worry about standards. It doesn't make a difference. You know, big deal. I don't think that that's going to fly with a majority of people on this particular planning board. So if we want to take a step back and we want to say, what is it that everybody has a concern with, and what is it that we need to do to say, what can we do to approve this tonight? Then maybe what we could do is take a step back for 5 minutes and say, what do we need to do to make it right, and do that.
Any other board members want to share any other comments?
Mr. Stein and Mr. Chairman, may I make a suggestion?
Mike, I'd like to hear the statement by the applicant's attorney.
Your call.
Hey, Stacy, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Stacy.
I'm having a hard time on my internet here. I have to reboot my computer. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on. I have files. I never had this problem. Yeah. But you're coming in and out. So I'm going to just reboot and come right back, okay?
We can hear you very well.
Yeah, I can't. You guys are all coming in muffled, and I can't see anybody on any screens.
Okay. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. Mr. Stone, did you have a question or comment?
In light of the comments being made by the various board members.
This is ridiculous.
Rather than having a vote on a negative, will you allow us to adjourn this application until the next hearing to determine whether or not we can address some of the board members' concerns?
That does sound satisfactory to me, because I think it follows Nancy's let's step back for a moment thought, which is an excellent one. Thank you for sharing that idea, Nancy. I think that's driving us in the right direction. And if things are resolvable, so be it. If they remain unresolvable, Mr. Stone, you have a glimmer as to what the board's thoughts are.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, before we get there, you have a motion and a second for the board. It's under discussion. If this board's going to adjourn this case to allow the applicant to do some further things, that motion is going to have to be withdrawn. Otherwise, there has to be a vote.
That would be
Pato's motion. That's Mr. Pato's motion.
I still stand.
Okay, so we have a motion. Can we ask if the second still stands, Mike, or am I going too far here?
I think we can ask Ms. Oxley if the second stands.
I stand.
Okay, so we have a motion and we have a second, and on advice of counsel, the board now has to take action and simply can't stop. Is that's where you're driving us, Mike?
I'm not driving you.
No,
but that's where you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you want to wait to see if Ms. Curtis logs back in before taking your vote. She logged out, and I assume she's trying to log back in.
Maybe I can get her on. Maybe I can get her on the phone.
So just to understand, Mike, the conversation is perhaps adjourning the application so the applicant might be able to work through some of these questions. But in the meantime, on a procedural basis, we have a motion to deny in a second, and the board should take action on that as a precondition to evaluating this adjournment.
Correct.
Yeah, I want to be heard again.
And just one more thought, so that if we approve the motion to deny, then there's no adjournment. But if we deny the motion to deny.
And you have the ability to adjourn.
Because we're not approving it, we're just not denying it.
So the motion fails, there's no other motion before the board at that point.
No, wait, Mike, I need a clarification on that.
Are we allowed to keep hearing from him?
Yeah, on the privilege of the chair, I'd like to hear this procedural point from Mr. Stone.
Without getting, I just want to make sure that I have a clarification. If the board votes on a no vote, is the application then deemed denied as it stands?
If the motion is approved, correct.
Okay. Number two. If that happens and the applicant wants to refile the application, am I correct that it must be materially different than the application that's now before the board?
That is correct.
Then I seek to withdraw the application and to refile it.
Sorry, I dialed you by mistake.
Oh,
hello. I'm on the planning board meeting. I'm sorry, Ed.
Hey, Nancy,
I'm not in jail.
You have to mute yourself.
Nancy, we can hear you now.
Nancy, can you mute?
I want to know procedurally what prevents me from withdrawing my application.
Well, so we're already
prevent us from refiling with the modifications.
Well, aren't we already in the middle of voting on the application?
Let's get some guidance from Mr. Stieb on this.
We already passed that, I believe.
I think at this point, the board has a motion and a second before it. I think you could act.
Please note my objection.
Noted.
So, Mike, we have a motion to deny. We have a second, and the board is obligated to proceed with a vote, and a vote in the affirmative or a yes vote is a support for the denial, and a vote in the negative or a no is a statement that you are not in favor of the denial, but it is not an approval.
Correct.
Okay. So with that, I think the only next step in this process would be to ask Linda to call the roll. And if anyone is unclear on their what a yes or a no is, please ask.
Mitch, can I make one comment, Mitch?
It's your motion. I'll give you the privilege of a comment.
Yeah, thank you. I do agree with Nancy with one respect. I think that it was done, I don't want to use it haphazard, but a little on the sloppy side, because my biggest concern is the two residing neighbors. They brought some valid points to the table. I don't know if these ever could be resolved. That is my concern in order to go back and rehear this. I mean, what are they going to do different that's going to change the outcome and not affecting the neighbors?
And that's a valid question, and we don't know, and that falls to Nancy's idea.
You're right. I don't know, and we don't know because we don't have jurisdictions. I get it. But
well, allowing them to either withdraw or adjourn gives them the opportunity to go and have further dialogue with the neighbors, whether or not they can resolve their differences. I don't know, but it gives them the opportunity to try and do so.
So that goes back to you, Tom. And I don't mean to put pressure on you. I apologize. We're all just doing our civic duty here. If your motion stands, then it'll be a yes or no vote, as opposed to you withdrawing your motion. And then perhaps the applicant can shed some clarity on those two issues, which are complicated issues.
I understand. And once again, I don't want to cloudy the air either. But my point is, what can they do different? What can the applicant do different to rectify the problems that we're having with the neighbors and or the all the hardships that are being thrown upon us?
That'll be
I think that there's a lot of points that need to be addressed. In other words, I think there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed before we can make even a valid or a honest vote about it.
So that I hear you, and it's a valid point that you make. I would suggest that the burden's on the applicant to figure this out to our satisfaction, and that you consider withdrawing your motion to allow them the opportunity to do that. But
I understand what you're saying, and I'm hearing you loud and clear. I will say this, and maybe you can help me. I definitely cannot say yes to this application as it stands right now.
Go ahead, please.
The only way I would feel comfortable is for all these issues to be resolved and in an orderly fashion so everybody is whole. And I don't know if the applicant can do this or is willing to do this. I mean, it may come down to, changing the building size again to maybe do away with some of the variances, in reference to Pat Butch's comment with the setbacks in the front, which I think is a major thing. You also had a valid point, Mitch, where we want the business to thrive. We want the business to stay. We want the business to do well. And you know what? If we don't make that appealing, it's not going to do well. So there's a lot of underlying issues And I think that even though the testimony was, clear and it was to the point, but it still didn't answer a lot of questions about the site.
So Tom, I want to take your thought and throw it over to Mr. Stone. Mr. Stone, you've heard a lot of their comments tonight. And are you able to accept the challenge if that motion is withdrawn to come back with clarity on these topics?
Aren't we still in the middle? Are we voting on this or we're not? Like, I just feel like we're all over the map.
Yes, we're all over the map. Thank you.
First of all, I don't agree with the.
We're in the middle of a vote and Mr. Stone keeps speaking. I don't think that that's procedurally correct.
And I accept your position, but I'm taking the position as the chairman. And if I'm not the right chairman, you'll let me know that on January 1st. So for the moment, Mr. Stone, take your last swing and then we'll move on.
Okay. First, let me address the board member. I guess it's Mr. Young's. The fact that we're having a colloquy about an application, giving the application, what you've provided me and my experts and my client, you've given us an opportunity to at least identify what the issues are that you want us to address. But with a no vote, you're not giving us that opportunity. I'm not going to take issue with Mr. Stein now on the procedural context of it, but certainly if you allow us to withdraw the application or in the alternative, carry the application and allow the experts to address every line item, I would say that we should carry it for at least two cycles. And then to Mr. Young's position and the other board members or their concerns, when we come back, if we haven't satisfied those concerns, there will be an ample opportunity to deny the application. But you should at least give us the opportunity to identify it. This is an undersized lot. It deserves to have development. It's going to have some type of development. This is not a situation, and I would refer to Mr. Stein. This is not a situation where the board can say, you have an undersized lot, you can't develop it. It's going to be developed.
All right, Mr. Stone, thank you. I think we understand your point, and I don't want to get too far afield because Mr. Young's point is correct. We need to put some procedural clarity to where we are at this moment. So we might not agree on everything, but you are right on point, Kevin, that we need to put a little bit more focus right now.
Can I state something? This is Rose. I made the second.
Yes, Rose, of course.
Quickly. We want to get this done. I'm willing to withdraw the second if I know that they're going to come back. We have the opportunity to also deny it a second time if they haven't met what we feel as the board that it's satisfactory to us. I'm willing to do that and give them a second opportunity to go back and check all our concerns. So it's up to, I'm willing to do that, but it's up to everybody else that they're willing to do that too.
Correct. Cause if you withdraw your second, we could have someone coming right behind you and say, well, that's great. I'll second it.
That's
so,
right.
You're right. I think we need to have a little consensus as to whether we are moving away from the current motion and giving them that chance to satisfy the many important concerns that they heard tonight.
Because I'm concerned they put a lot of money into all these studies and everything else. And I understand that. They can't start from scratch and now propose something different. I understand that too. So I think it's important that if we withdraw it, let them give them a chance and we can always deny them if it comes back and it's not to our satisfaction. That's my point.
I'd like to suggest statement. That we follow through with the procedure.
Yeah.
So if Rose wants to withdraw, she can withdraw. And if someone else wants to second, then we'll be voting and
okay.
Let's move forward with.
Tom Pato has to withdraw his motion also. He's got to be also do that. He's got to be the main person.
All right. I'll be willing to withdraw my motion, hear it again, let them come back with us and make the following changes to make us whole so we can heartfully approve the application or not. I can't guarantee that we're going to approve it again, but I will be willing to give them the opportunity to make the neighbors whole and everything, okay.
Well, that's good motivation.
So the motion is withdrawn. The applicant has requested that the matter be carried. He indicated for two cycles, so that would bring us till December. Is the board inclined to grant that adjournment to give them that opportunity?
I have no problem with it.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it either.
Yeah, I'm okay with that also. I just want to ask one quick procedural question, timing-wise. So that would be December 8th, Mr. Stone, is that?
Could you allow me to check my calendar just to make sure?
Will there be a re-noticing?
No, not unless there's a change in the plan that requires additional relief.
And that's why I want to focus in on the date. We have our neighbors who are listening in intently, and Tom, they're going to accept the fact that they should come back and let us know if they're satisfied too, based on the way you threw your motion. Yeah.
I'm available on the 8th. I have to defer to my experts. But I'm available on the 8th.
Okay. Well, are your experts available?
This is Jim Higgins. I'm available.
John?
I don't know if I'll be needed, but I'm available.
I'm available, John Pasconka.
Scott?
If I'm not available, John Ray will be available. I may have another matter that night.
Okay. And I don't know that we necessarily need the architect, but Mr. Winkler, are you available to join the party?
Yeah, should be.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like, Mr. Stone, that you and your team will be available. And so, Mike, I'll leave it to you to make the statement over the next meeting.
Yeah, so that for anyone in the public who has an interest in this application, it is being carried to the December 8, 2021 meeting. It will be also a Zoom meeting. Will the information be the same as it was for tonight's meeting, Linda, or is it going to be different entry information?
As long as it's Zoom, it stays the same.
Stays the same. So yeah. You will enter the meeting that evening utilizing the same Zoom information or telephone information that you use for this evening's information, and you will not be receiving any further notice. This is the only notice that you will receive.
Let me thank Mr. Stive, Mr. Chairman, the members of the board for giving us this second opportunity, second bite of the apple. We look forward to seeing you in November, and have a nice Thanksgiving.
Excuse me, Mr. Stone. Can we have some specific items exactly that the board members are seeking us to address so that there's no issue when we come back that we have addressed what their concerns are?
I think at this point, Mr. Pliskanka, my answer to that is at this point you've heard all of the statements by the board, and I'm not inclined to go through and repeat all of them at this point.
Mitch, one simple question. Will the applicant have time to visit the septic system with the Board of Health by December 8th? Because I think that's a big question in the air.
Mr. Stone, that's a good question, Tom. So your two cycles gives you a chance to iron that out, perhaps?
I asked for two cycles in the hope that I'll be able to do that. But frankly, I haven't been confronted with this before. And, you know, given that everybody's working remotely, where I was really previously had reasonable expectations, people don't move quite as fast as they used to. So I can't give you a definitive answer, but I will stay in contact with the board and Mr. Stibe and let you know how our progress is. When I finish here tonight,
appreciate that, Mr. Stone. Because I think that's one of the major issues or the major concerns that we're having. So
and all I can promise you is that we'll do our best. You know,
I appreciate that.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you. Anything further, Mike?
Not on this application tonight.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the applicant working with us, and I truly appreciate the board members working hard to get us the right way to proceed here. Thanks, everybody. So moving on our agenda, There's nothing listed under old business or new business, although we did get this model ordinance to take a look at, but it didn't come. I might be wrong, but it didn't come with the classic, hey, this is an ordinance that you have to say is consistent or inconsistent with the master plan. So I'm not sure what our charge is here tonight, Mike.
That didn't come through the township committee.
So it's Stacy. I sit on the environmental commission and they've been talking about electric vehicle charging stations and having them ready for potential applications that are coming forward for commercial properties. I believe it does have to go in front of the township committee because it's looking at an ordinance change, but they wanted to send it over to the planning board for them to start getting familiar with and take a look at it. So I said that, you know, I suggested that they send it over, to us, the planning board, and its professionals to look at, but I do believe it still also has to go in front of the township committee. And Nancy, I'm sure you can correct me if I'm wrong.
You don't want to get me started on, I'm not going to tell you how I feel about electric charging stations. I feel the same way I feel about, you know, Murphy's desire to cut off natural gas in 2050. I hope they all won't be around by 2050. So.
All right. Well,
Mr. Chairman, why don't you put it on as a discussion item for the next meeting?
Yeah, let's put it on ice for now. And McKinley and Matt, would you take a look at this? So in case we ask you for guidance, you're ready. And Nancy, you and I will talk in 2050 and we'll figure this out.
So we're going to put it on the agenda to discuss at the next meeting in November.
It'll be on the agenda. We'll see where we go with it. But yes, tonight we're not going to get to it.
Okay, it's just not really quickly, Mitch, for my own clarification, because I know they're going to ask me, what's the typical process for this though? Does it go into the planning board first? Or does it go to the township committee first?
No, it goes to the township committee. If they introduced an ordinance, then it would come to us.
Right.
So as a courtesy, we'll take a look at this, but it is a little out of sequence.
Okay.
So I don't want to overpromise that we're going to do anything at the next meeting, but we'll give you the courtesy, of course, of taking a look at it and asking for some guidance from our professionals to help us understand it.
Okay. We just want to keep everything away from me.
I just wanted to ask to make sure that I go back with proper protocol.
Okay, you got it. All right. I don't see anything else in our agenda. Does everyone agree that we are at the end of our agenda?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a meeting in November for a site plan on Reich Drive, by the way.
Okay, I'm going to need a month to recover from this one, so that's good.
I'm assuming it's going to be Zoom next month.
We're Zooming for as long as you will allow me to let us Zoom. Don't worry.
I like Zoom.
Yeah, me too. So
just to let you know what happened was, make sure you update your Zoom because I didn't update it today and I kept on getting notifications and that's what kicked me out of the meeting a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
So in the morning, if you get this notification that says, please update Zoom, do it because that's why I got kicked out three times and I had to update and then I had to reboot.
I thought you were just sick of us and you were just getting out.
No, sorry about that.
No, get out of here. All right. Long meeting. I appreciate everyone hanging in there and not taking a break. And I do appreciate the board members that bring contrary positions, to the table. It's the best way for us to move forward. And if we have a little scuffle, it's okay. That's what we're here for. So thanks everybody. All right. So Kevin, I will allow you to make the motion to adjourn.
And I wasn't trying to undermine you at all.
No, please get out of here. I already acted. So, Kevin, you have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Tom,
I'll second it.
No, I want Tom to second it.
No problem.
All right. We got a motion to second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed,
aye.
Just stay the night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.